listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I fantasize about this back in Chicago. Mercy, mercy me, that mercy a lago. That's me the first year I blow. How you say broken Spanish? Me no hablo. Be drowned in sorrow in that Diablo. Be found bravery in my bravado. DJs need to listen to the models. You ain't got no fucking Yeezy in your Serato.
You ain't got no Yeezy, nigga? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Sharon. I mean Karen. I don't know who the Sharon is.
That's right. We had somebody ask to be on the show, and I think it was like a form letter, and they put Rod and Sharon, and I was like, well, obviously this person's not gonna be on the show. We have a very familiar voice. If you guys listen to his podcast, The Mundane Festival, if you're fans of our podcast, he's been on here several times. I've been on his show before. Karen, have you been on there yet? The Mundane Festival with Chris Lambert?
I don't know.
No, we're gonna make that happen though.
That's gotta happen. It's gotta happen, man. So yeah, we've been on, I've been on there before. He's been on here many times. We've done movie reviews with Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You might have seen his stand up. You might have seen the ones opening for Chris Hardwick. He's everywhere, man. If you're in New York, coming up, you'll have a special opportunity to see him. But it's comedian Chris Lambert. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
We're great, man. Good. Thank you for coming on.
Yes, you one of our favorite people.
Well, I appreciate that.
Hey, Chris.
You guys are my favorite.
Oh, Chris, you're one of the people that we talk about you so much. We talk about some of y'all so much, particularly you, Chris. I find they're like, do they live? Like, no, they don't live nowhere near here.
Well, I tell my parents, I have to talk to my friends in Charlotte when I do your podcast. My friends in Charlotte are doing their podcast. They understand though.
And tell everybody what you got coming up, man.
This week, tomorrow, July 24th through the 28th, I'm doing a series of stand-up shows at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. I'm just doing an hour each night, and I'm gonna have a couple friends with me, but I'm performing, working on the hour, thinking about doing an album, maybe springtime of this year. And yeah, so you can see me work on it. It's gonna be fun. I'm working on my shit, but it's gonna be funny. So it's gonna be a good time. It's a free show. It's right outside of the city. It's not far. It's good food, good drinks, and it's gonna be a good time. Get your night started off checking me out, doing my thing. It's gonna be fun.
And it is worth it. We seen Chris live a few years ago, y'all, and we died laughing. Like, if you've never seen Chris live, go check him out. You will have yourself a ball.
Yeah, everybody that's gone to see him that, you know, are fans of the show, mm-hmm. report back having a great time.
Yes.
Like I said, very funny dude, man, and got that trajectory going all over the place. So hopefully
I know next few years we're gonna have a lot of famous friends. We already be like, well, we know in next few years such and such are gonna make it, such and such are gonna make it. Yeah,
man. It's good to see people with talent, you know, blowing up, especially Black folks, man.
And I'm so excited for everybody.
You know, Chris put in work, Ray Sonny's putting in work, Janelle James putting in work. Even J.L. Covan in his own way, you know, his own special bridge burning way.
His own special torch carrying way.
His torch carrying, burn all the bridges, but still try to make it way. Everybody's doing their thing, so. I'm happy for everybody, man, but yes. Specifically go see Chris, man, especially now. Like, I like seeing people work on the material that is gonna be their special. We got to see Roy Wood Jr.
Yes.
When he was in Charlotte, when he was working on his special, and see some of the jokes that made it and didn't make it and all that shit. And it all has been cracking up, but
yeah.
You know, there's it's almost like if you get to see somebody work on a dunk contest in a gym. But before the dunk contest, like just the dunks they're trying, like whatever, like the people who saw Vince Carter try the dunks in the gym with the Raptors before he got on TV and did it. Like, yeah. That's how it kind of feels. So then like certain times you get excited because I'm like, oh shit, I know this joke is coming up. It's coming up. And when it lands, you're just like, oh my God, I remember when he said that shit here about the chicken nuggets.
Yes. And it's one of those things too, where you're watching and you know what you've seen, and then you realize, oh shit, it's a twist to it. So right. it almost makes the joke even funnier.
Well, like I said, check out Chris, man. And how's everything been going, dude? I mean, I feel like we just talked like a couple weeks ago, but how's everything been going with you, man?
It's been going pretty good. Just doing the TPS reports and by day, shows at night, auditioning a lot more. And I'm learning to just kind of, you know, get excited and do my thing in the room, but like do the audition and just try to like put it behind me and not stress about it. But it's kind of hard where like I had an audition for a movie, like a lead in a movie, and fuck it, I'll say it, to play Eric Andre's friend in a movie.
Oh.
And it was just like sending in the tape. Like I don't know how they saw me, but they told my managers to put it on tape. I don't know what's going to happen with it, but those are some of the parts where you're thinking about like daydreaming about like leaving the office, like leaving like for good, mm-hmm. and taking that leap. Some of the shit, like the stuff that I've gotten like recently, is like, okay, I could be early on some bills this month, or I could, you know, do certain things, maybe do a few things that I want to do and stuff. But like this one was like, damn, like, yo, this could be the start. So you can't help, you know, it's human. You can't help but like thinking like, yo,
it's like Lil Rel, like Lil Rel and Get Out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, maybe like, I mean, this was a smaller movie. I think it's independent, but, I mean, the lead in the movie opposite a famous person, like, hey man. Like,
yeah, but I mean, think about that shit though. Get Out's a smaller movie. What, that shit have $1 million budget at most or something? Like,
that is true.
That fucking money. And then once it made all that money, people start treating it like, oh my God, this AAA film. It's like, nah, dog, this was a small vision. And like now every time I see Lil Rel, I'm going to be like, oh shit, Rod from TSA forever. But I mean, that name recognition is priceless though. Cause now he could be in anything. And I'm just like immediately excited by the fact that he's there. Tiffany Haddish after Girls Trip, she about to be like that.
She gonna be the next big thing.
She about to be like that everywhere. So I mean, the point being, you just never know. So of course, man, you would be excited. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's just trying to temper the expectations where it's like, it's just like you think about like, yo, I could be out, like, and just leave. Like, what's gonna happen when I leave all these TPS reports behind? And like a couple weeks ago, there was a dude that got fired. I mean, I could kind of see it coming, but it still threw me for a loop. It was just like, fuck, man. And, it's just thinking like, you know, like taking off work and going to auditions. It's like, I just don't want to regret it. Mm. Like, I just don't want to regret like, oh, I stayed at work because I was in fear for my job that I could lose at any moment instead of just going after what I want. So. You know, it's just I don't know, I guess it's just part of the whole, I guess it's the way I came up, and I don't know if you guys and the listeners can relate to it. It's just like you grow up like with parents that like you work, make sure you go to work, you have your job, do what you're supposed to do, and then doing things like we're doing now is just kind of like it's supposed to be on the side. But when you're trying to make that dream a reality, it's like you do have to take that leap, and sometimes you got to take that leap and then start building a parachute as you're falling. So
it's another burden of being a minority or marginalized person. All our artistic dreams have to go on the back burner. Not saying white people never deal with this, but in general, there's certain white people that just get to be creative and have their parents' blessing and backing from jump. Whereas, because if you see so many white people be successful at something, then you start to see it as a possibility. Well, black people, sometimes it's so far few between where it feels like you're just looking at a chocolate chip cookie and you're looking at the couple of chips in it going, I wonder if I could be in Hollywood. And it's like everyone's gonna tell you no because that dream is so far-fetched even though percentage wise it's probably just the same as anybody else, but we treat the dream more like, look, get you a good government job and stop bullshitting with these white folk. I think that's a very common experience. Cam, what were you gonna say?
Yeah, and that, and also I think too, Roger bring up a good point, because of wealth passed from generation to generation, when, you know, white children get to grow up wanting to be kind of whatever they want to be, and their parents will actually invest the time, invest the money. Not trying to find it, they actually have the network to get them to the auditions. A lot of them know people in the industry or can find out easier about the industry to get their child to the places that they need to be. Versus a lot of times we don't have those networks, we don't have those channels, we don't have the money, we don't have the resources, we don't have the wealth to,
we don't have the security net.
Right, because see, if we fuck up, you mess around and be homeless and not be able to come back again. You know how many white people bounced back, failed, came back again. You be like, God damn, how many dreams have you had? But you know, they got to live every single one of them. Well, and one of them hit and they succeeded.
That's one of the things I talked about with Chris Lambert when we reviewed La La Land. And I remember being like, it's not that it's like a bad movie or something, but it's so white, whether they, you know, it's so glaringly white, because it wasn't about a guy getting to live his dream. It was about a guy getting to live his specific dream. Like his, like he was already a working musician who was paying his bills and touring the fucking world. That was, for most people, that's like, that's a good living. Like, okay, yeah. I made it. I made it with my art. This nigga was like, I'm depressed. I'm so sad. This is a terrible life that I'm living because I haven't opened my own jazz club. So everything in my life sucks. I don't want to be in love with this woman. I don't want to take this touring job with John Legend. I just want to open up a jazz club. And I was like, damn, I can't get over the overbearing whiteness of these dreams. Like, even in movies where, like, and it don't even have to be a movie about being rich or anything. It'll just be a movie where it's like, let's just go to Amsterdam, and white people just be in Amsterdam. And it's like, they don't understand, and I don't think they can relate to the idea that black people are looking at this shit like, well, how the fuck did y'all get the money to get the flight to Amsterdam and take the time off of work? Yeah. They, to them, it's just like, that, well, it's in a movie and it's a thing that happens, and when you're white, these things kind of work out. Maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a loan, maybe, you know, I can just walk in and tell my job I need a month off to go find myself. And that's just a thing that happens even in their fiction. And it's not, and that's not the fantastical element. Like, that's just a commonplace thing. And I mean, you meet white people all the time that are like, oh, you know, I took a gap year. I took a year off in college to go to tour Europe and just see. And you're like, oh, that's a thing that for a lot of black people is either not a reality, or it's like, you'll be the first generation to have done that. Like, you won't get to be, for us, it's not like we have these years and years and years and generations of wealth to be like, oh yeah, 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 my family, you know, they just, we kind of kick it after college for a little bit, you know, go visit some places and then come back. Like, not very many people get to do that. So yeah, even in fiction, we have to deal with that. And even in real life, like Chris is saying, you're dealing with the TPS reports, you're dealing with these auditions, and you're kind of still, you know, one foot in, one foot out on some of your dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the fact that you mentioned La La Land. I mean, Lorenz Tate in Girls Trip, he was happy opening, working with Neo.
Right.
He was happy.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Being just playing the bass.
All he wanted was a queen to go with that. He was good.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you making me think too, when you're talking about the jobs and things like that. White people quit their jobs all the time to do the most fantastical whirlwind of gumball shit, where you'd be like, that's not realistic. But you know what? Because in America, white people are taught, I have the right to a job. You feel more comfortable leaving that shit and going, well, I know I can find another job. I'm white. Niggas be like, you lose your job, nigga, you might not find another one.
Now, Chris, how are you affected by the what I call the bottom out stories of success in Hollywood, where somebody gets on and they get interviewed and it's like, yeah, we're talking right now with Chadwick Boseman, and Chadwick, tell him your story. Well, I was living out my car, you know, I lost my job, I had no food to eat. I was working at a restaurant, I was eating food in the bathroom, sneaking it, and then I got the call to be in Black Panther. And you're like, god damn, like, do you think to yourself, like, oh, that motherfucker's lucky, I should quit my job and live out my car? Or do you go like, nigga, that's crazy?
No, cause I wouldn't do that. Like, I think there still has to be comfort. Like, Chadwick Boseman's a leading man.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw Girls Trip, and what's the kid, the hot guy, what's his name? Kofi?
Kofi's, Kofi, yes. Cerebo.
Yes.
Yeah. So his name, his name is Kofi. Yes, is his name.
Yes, it is.
Apparently, I can never say his whole name without being interrupted by black women.
So when I saw him, and I was in the theater with a lot of black women, and when I saw him on the screen, I was like, wow, that guy, wow. I said, I need to lose weight so I can play his friend in the movie.
Right, I want to play his overweight cousin that is always jealous.
Yeah, I just
want
to play his friend. Just like, hey, Kofi, you should really talk to that girl. Don't break her heart. And then I just, you know, like, go off and collect my check.
Yeah.
Just be the funny friend. I don't mind that.
Right.
Because if you see me in that movie playing his friend and I'm funny enough, I can go play the funny bones all over the country.
Right. It's still a come up.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's still a come up. But yeah, it's just weird because sometimes you hear those stories and it's like, you know, like Tiffany, like, and plus for black people, like, it takes so long.
Right. A lot of
times. For black people to get on.
We're like, older by the time we quote unquote blow up. And a lot of times we've been in this industry 10, 15, 20 years before we quote unquote get on.
Yeah. Low key. That's why you'll never catch me saying shit about Leslie Jones negative, because she had to wait till she was almost 50 to get on. Like, if y'all don't like it, too bad, nigga. Like, just deal with it. It's other niggas getting on. Go watch them instead. Cause I'm like, you put in the work. Was she supposed to just work, toil in fucking obscurity cause you uncomfortable with white folks finding that shit funny?
Right.
Too bad. Like, that's the rule. Like, if you don't like it, go support somebody else. Tiffany Haddish is 39.
Right.
Like, it takes Sterling K. Brown.
I was gonna say, I thought she was like 37. I saw that thing, they aged her up. What Wikipedia says, she's born on December 3rd, 1979. So she'll be 38 this year.
Right. But I'm just, Sterling K. Brown. Sterling K. Brown is. Hold on, what'd you say, Chris?
I was just saying, I don't want them to be aging the sister up if she, you know.
No, I mean, well, the point I'm trying to make isn't even that. It's just, you know, Sterling K. Brown's 41.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like some of these people are just now entering the collective public consciousness.
Right.
And when we see them, we're like, holy shit, this motherfucker is so talented. And it begs the question, like, where were they 10 years ago?
Right.
Where were they? You know, was it a combination of black people being like, I don't want to not live, get work this job and just trying to pursue my dreams? And then also Hollywood kind of being like, not yet, like, don't, like, we don't want to take a chance, you know, because a lot of these artists, I'm like, it's not like they just started working.
Mm-mm.
Why are they just now getting the roles that fit their talent when we see certain people get to fail over and over to the point where we laugh at it? Like, there's certain actresses and shit that when they get a job, we laugh at the idea because we're like, oh, that TV show's gonna fail because all of Summer Glau's TV shows fail.
Come on.
But she will always have a job, you know what I mean?
Come on, all through their 20s.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm just saying. She known as like a franchise killer, and that's not, I'm not shitting on her. I'm just saying it's a running joke with a lot of fans, like, oh no, Summer Glau got a show, it's gonna get canceled. And then there's black people that just never get a show, ever. I don't know. I was just wondering how you thought about those stories.
No, it's definitely something that I think about. It's like, do I have to sacrifice more, even though, like, I'm not poor, but I'm a couple paychecks away from being Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think a lot of Americans are, and I don't never like stunt like I got it when I don't. It's just things like that you would want to do that you can't do because it's like, well, I got to save my money for this bill, for this, or Easy Pass just took like $250 out of my account. and you think you've got it, you'd be like, damn. So it's just like, you just have to, there are sacrifices that you make, but I just try not to glamorize it. And then I would just have to be on. If I got on, then I would probably share even more stories about the shit. But it's like, yeah, it's just you do what you got to do. And you being, us being minorities, I mean, that's just part of life, you know. Yeah. And shout out to, like, my parents have helped a lot. Like, they just, like, but I just, sometimes I refuse to help. And it's just been, like, through my 20s when I was in school, like, college and grad school, they helped out a lot. And then I just had to, was at a point where I could do even more things on my own. And I think everybody has their financial struggles. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just that's like you and Karen said, it's just like one foot in the door, one out, and you kind of just got to go for it either way.
Yeah, because it's like I said, I'm not a comedian or anything like that, but yeah, I still work like a full-time job. So, you know, I kind of relate to people this kind of in the door, out the door type of thing. Cause like you said, when you work at a 9-to-5 and you got a trouble for the podcast, you know, I don't tell them that, but it's one of the things where it's like, well, shit, no, let me be sure I got enough PTO time. You know, I can't take no more days off to such and such because I got to be sure that I have enough in here, you know, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, be sure that, you know, everything's covered, you know, because I don't want no bullshit and them telling me I can't take the time off this fucking mind because some shit go down. But, you know, because I'm to the point where I'm like, bitch, if you tell me I can't go, I'm going to go anyway. You know, I hurt, try to hurt the feelings, but, you know, I don't want no problems. So it's one of them things where you kind of, it's, a lot of white people don't have to deal with that because a lot of them done quit their job, their, you know, their waitress job at 21. And like Roger said, you see them everywhere over and over and over again. Failed movie after failed movie, you know, failed show after failed show, you know, failed gig after failed gig until their 30s and 40s. And like Roger said, a lot of us, you know, you're just now hearing about us in our 40s.
All right. So also, speaking of movies, Girl Trip is on track to make $31 million this opening weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a feeling it's gonna be number one. And me and Roger talked about
that. Well, it's not gonna be number one.
Oh, it's not gonna be number one? Okay.
It looks like Dunkirk is gonna be number one with $50 million. Okay. Christopher Nolan's
war right.
film.
That came out.
White folks love war.
Yeah, they do.
But yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
It was all right.
Damn, Nolan falling off, man.
Like the homies from what the Hot Firestarter crew, I had a couple sleeps in that joint, but no. Part of it wasn't Nolan. It was, you know, I mean, it was more me being tired than the movie was. It was all right, but I think sometimes, like you said, white people be liking these war movies, and I was just like, I'm not really invested. Whereas Girls Trip, I laughed and everything, but I was really just smiling the whole time. It made me feel good.
Part of the reason Girls Trip is dope is because you gotta go now. You gotta go see it with some black women.
Right.
Because we went to the black theater and saw our opening night, and our theater was full of black women. And like half the lines, I feel like I didn't get to laugh at the follow through joke because like if it was a tag on a joke, people was laughing so hard at the original joke. Sometimes you didn't even get the tag. But then we went to go see Valerian last night, and even when we went to see Valerian, the fucking theater parking lot was full, and it was just crews of black women. Like
groups. Four, five, six
black women going to see the movie, and I was like, this movie gonna make a lot of money. So I'm not surprised by the $30 million opening. It only had a $20 million budget. So it's already in the green for the weekend. And Valerian looks like it's gonna lose some money a lot.
That's what I've heard, and that movie is decent. You know, the previews is a lie. You know that like, this is the best shit ever. It's just pretty.
Yeah, it earned $17 million over the weekend, which is really bad because the word is on the streets it costs $150 million to make.
Ooh,
yeah, that shit about to get that Taylor Kitsch Award.
Valerian sounds like the name of a cornerback from South Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, Valerian Steele.
Valerian Jackson.
Yeah.
South Carolina State. You know, yeah, I can see that. I can see that on Monday Night Football opening up. Valerian Jones, South Carolina State.
Mm-hmm. Defense.
All right, defense.
linebacker.
4-4 in the 40.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I, man, and then again, people are going to be surprised. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this black movie is making all this money. I can't believe it.
Yeah, that's the thing that killed me is like, the stories are so predictable. We got to get the surprise smash comedy of the year. Surprise breakout hit. Wow, it made money. It's like, well, if you put black people on screen, you let black people write the movie, you let black people direct,
right,
black people are probably going to spend money to see it. That's pretty standard at this point. Black people see a quality representation of blackness and we go fucking like latch onto it and give it all our money. Why are we acting so surprised? You know, like, of course it made fucking money. Of course it's gonna be the first comedy to make a lot of money this year. So yeah, I'm already starting to see the it gave us our first surprise hit of the summer. I'm like, what was it really a surprise, white folk?
It's like from the guy that brought you the one of the last ones that like Malcolm Lee did Best Man Holiday, that smashed. And the guy from Black-ish and his protege wrote it with the sister that he teamed up with. I think that's his writing partner.
Yeah, Kenya Barris. Yeah.
What's her name?
No, Kenya Barris is his name. And I can give you her name in a second. It's Tracy something. Fuck.
Okay.
I'll get it. Give me a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it was just I really enjoyed it. It was just fun. And it just made me feel good. Like, it was just, like, the people talking back at this. And my theater was pretty tame where I was at. But it was, like, a lot of black women in there. But it was just, like, really, it was an enjoyable time, man. And you don't get to, it's something that, like, when they were at I don't want to spoil it, but the Essence Fest sequence, the first one was just, like, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
And it's Tracy Oliver is her name.
Tracy, okay,
yeah, but it's also,
I
was gonna say, it's also two other women that wrote it too, so like it's four people, Kenya Barris, and then three women. So I mean, and you can tell,
yep,
honestly,
you can tell when black women write shit about black women for black women. And
I don't know that they were all black though,
but when black women have put like this, when black women have had their hands in the pot, if that makes sense, they ain't got to write it, they ain't got to direct it, but when black women has had some say so in the direction and what's happening, you can tell.
Well, also the thing I thought that was cool about it was they got to be funny and raunchy and irreverent, but I never felt like they were just imitating what guy movies do.
Right.
Like, it didn't feel like, oh, they're just trying to do like a woman version of The Hangover, or, you know, like even with Bridesmaid, which I think is a funny film, sometimes in Bridesmaid you're like, oh, y'all are just doing this because this is what dudes do. And this, the film to me didn't feel like that shit at all. It felt organic and funny, you know. Plus, you know, black women be funny as fuck, so
yes they do.
It was just kind of naturally funny, but yeah, that movie's off the hook. I hope y'all all go see it.
And at the same time, like, I was reading this IndieWire, I think it was an article from IndieWire, but the Tiffany Haddish performance was pretty much, they put it on the same level as Zach Galifianakis in Hangover and Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids, how that performance was just like standout. And it was just like, it was just, I mean, that's what it is, like that's what that performance was. And
I can only compare her performance to LeBron James 2016 finals, like
came out balling.
Like, there was no plays off, there was no games where she didn't deliver, there was no, you know, there was no scene, no line where I went, she mailed that one in. I mean, she came in with the game face on and just had every scene she made. She made every scene she was in better. So yeah, like I said, I won't spoil it. We did do a review of it already. If you guys want to go hear what we said, please check it out. But yeah, man, good for them, man. That's a lot of money, dog. $30 million in a weekend, and that's mostly black dollars. Because whenever white people write those surprise hit things, that really just means they didn't go see it.
Right.
Like, they always do that.
Right.
No white people saw this, but although I did see a tweet that said a lot of white women with the cut, was up in there.
The 53%?
The I like to see the manager haircut, you know. They probably
was, oh, of course they were.
Yeah, they man. Was up in there. They was probably yep. up in there.
And we
yeah.
see, we actually see some white dudes in our theater walking down front.
I saw like 3 white people in the front. I was like, good for you guys. Get out here and get you some. All right, so
like, you knew which seats to pick, the front ones.
Yeah. Let's get into some news, guys. Let's get into some news. Apparently, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, in the comedy world. Kevin Hart has been accused of having a side chick, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Yeah, while his wife is pregnant.
Yeah, somebody snapped photos.
Yeah, coming out of a hotel, him and some woman walking and getting in the same car. Now look, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's doing anything untoward,
right?
You know, but a lot of people are running with that. They're saying, look, clearly Kevin Hart is cheating on his I think she's 2 months pregnant or something like that wife, and then I think they just got married, like
mm-hmm. Yeah, they just got married.
Yeah, so I go to Bossip to get the scoop.
Oh shit,
you know, they always had the information that we need, the news that we really need, the nigga news. Rib and aside, Kevin Hart responds to rumors.
Oh, shit.
Kevin Hart responds to rumors that he's entertaining a young exotical while Aniko carries his seed.
Not exotic. Is exotica her name? Or?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna say.
I guess that's what they call it. Just like they used to call women that was black but mixed with something foreign.
Oh Lord.
Now they're calling them exoticals. I guess, I don't know. It's possible. So take it with
exoticals.
Take it with a grain of salt, y'all. Rumors have been swirling all week that there's more than ribs on the menu for Kevin Hart ever since a grainy video of him chatting up a gorgeous young thing at 5 a.m. hit the internet. Kevin initially tried to lie the whole thing off, but as chatter persisted, he eventually tried to explain away the reason. He was having an intimate looking conversation with a woman who was not his wife outside a hotel in the wee hours of the morning. Now, with folks still coming for his neck, making assumptions over the fishy situation, Kevin wants you to know that you'll never get into his head, and it's all par for the course where you have millions and everyone knows your name. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this is whenever a famous person, or especially a comedian, posts a picture of themselves, it's not a selfie, it's like a stage picture of them doing something and they looking serious, I'm always like, that this is about to be some really heartfelt shit. You know, like that's the move.
Like JL's moment of Dane.
Yes, like you know, like if it's just Dane Cook, like if Dane Cook is doing a yoga pose, so that means someone else took a picture of him doing yoga.
Yeah.
So he saved that picture, so one day when something's happening, he can write a fucking 500 word status about, you know, fame and how people are hating on him. That's what it's about. So Kevin wrote,
yeah,
gotta love the entertainment business. Let me see if I can show y'all this picture. Hold on, I forgot I can screen share it with y'all, because when you see this picture y'all gonna laugh, because it really is one of those, like, oh,
we gotta
nigga.
Get in to know, you know, you got to keep right. people informed, you know, we got older listeners so they can talk to the kids when they bring up Kevin Hart.
Right, black comedians love doing this too, by the way.
That's the pose right there, ain't it?
Yeah, black comedians love taking
pictures. Looking up.
Black comedians love taking pictures where they not smiling, by the way. I don't know what it's about. It's like black, I feel like comedians want to be rappers and a lot of rappers want to be comedians.
Yeah.
Because
of
like,
of course.
Because you see, like, black comedians will take a picture and they look like, I'm so funny that it's fucking serious, bitch. I'm about to fuck this audience up, you motherfuckers. Y'all gonna laugh, bitch. Like, it look like they about to bang on somebody. But yeah, this is a serious Kevin Hart picture here. And underneath he says, gotta love the entertainment business. I love everything about it. As a successful entertainer, you are forever in the spotlight. It's a good thing and a bad thing. You can't love the good and complain about the bad. It's important to understand what comes with the territory. The one thing that I was blessed with is a super strong mental. You can never allow others or others' words or opinions to affect your mental, because you're the only one that knows you. My advice to the world is keep your circle small and your positivity high. People can't penetrate what you don't allow them into, which is my house and my circle. Words to live by, people. Hashtag live, love, laugh.
Do I need to snap afterwards? Doing the poetry read.
And Bossip says, cool, Kev, but did you smash or nah?
They're like, you ain't answering the question.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's interesting, though, because it makes me wonder, like, has he heard 444 yet? Mm. You know? Because a lot of these brothers out here, you know, living this wild life, they just need to listen to the album.
You know he did. He probably got an advanced copy.
Yeah, he just don't care. Yeah, I saw Drake with a video up of him putting money to his ear, and I was him and Gucci Mane, and I was like, you know that
I mean? Saw that too,
right? And I said, you know that mean they cheating on their girl, because if they want to listen to the money in your ear line, then you know they fucking around. Come on, guys, y'all here telling on yourselves. I don't. If you're a cheating ass nigga, you should probably be lying and be like, yeah, you know what? I actually love that album. It's great.
Yeah, you know what, you can say I got credit, Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You don't do nothing stupid.
Usher, who was in the news lately,
Usher been it's been terrible. It's everything been burning.
Let it burn indeed. Usher faces a first he got it was publicized that he paid a woman like $1 million to $1.1 million to a stylist to cover her medical bills after he infected her with herpes. He paid $1.1 million to settle a lawsuit. Court documents first published by Radar Online show the 38-year-old You Got It Bad singer. You do got it bad. Mm-hmm. Whose real name is Usher Raymond IV was diagnosed with incurable condition between 2009-2010. An affidavit from the complainant states the singer is nonetheless engaged in unprotected intercourse without first disclosing the affliction. According to the California.
That's the problem.
Yep. According to California state law where Usher resides, it's illegal to knowingly or recklessly transmit a STD.
Wonderful. That'd be across the country.
The performer later denied being a carrier of the non-lethal condition despite a greenish discharge from his penis.
And this is one reason why I know a lot of people don't take this serious, but this is one reason why you don't fuck with the lights off. If, unless you're familiar with the penis, you keep the lights on and you look to be sure that shit look like it's supposed to look.
Believing Raymond's statements that the discharge had been nothing and cleared up, she continued her relationship. The plaintiff was later diagnosed with herpes, complete with vaginal sores, fevers, and chills, she alleged in papers. Usher has yet to make a public statement on the matter. Between 2011 and 2012, the Grammy Award-winning artist paid for medical bills on behalf of the plaintiff, totaling $2,754.40. Around the same time, the confession singer had his doctor inform the woman that he was indeed a carrier of the disease. I guess that was his confession. Usher was allegedly exposed to herpes virus in 2009-2010. If the legal documents show, around the time when he finalized his divorce to Tamika Foster after she accused him of cheating. Well, that would make sense.
Yeah.
The timing adds up. In a deceleration, the woman says she feels that her health and body have been ruined and she has suffered severe emotional distress and has been extremely depressed knowing there is no cure. The singer has been married to his current wife, Grace Miguel, since 2015. Experts say that one out of every six people between the ages of 14 and 49 carried herpes virus, which can be transmitted through oral, anal, or vaginal intercourse.
Ryan, you got motherfuckers talking about I don't use condoms and shit right. Like that. I'm clean, bitch. I don't know you or where your stuff been.
I know
one of my homies said on Facebook like a couple days ago that you can't be one. I don't know if Usher brags about hooking up with a lot of chicks, but you can't be singing and rapping about all this stuff and hooking up with all these girls and not catch something. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the percentage of people that actually get something and, you know, that's having unprotected sex and whatnot, man. Like, it's surprising that this isn't, we're only just hearing about this case, you know?
But it's sad
when he was one of, you know, he's one of my heroes, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
The caught up singer.
I don't mind, okay? I don't mind. I'm gonna make some jokes, okay? I'm just saying, you know, you my boo.
Yeah, man, the show.
But you make me want to wrap it up, okay? You make me want to wrap it up. Wrap up my dick. I'll spread these hurt. Yeah. Yeah. Think about a condom when it
yes, you made me want to wrap my dick up because I don't know you. Made me want to do. Come on.
That's what happened when the DJ got you falling in love, man. You know, you just lose your mind.
STD came between us. She was my best friend.
Man, have y'all seen what niggas have done to the motherfucking, you know that video where Usher's in the studio and he's on the phone? Have y'all seen these? Oh my God, hold on.
Look at it, young.
It's so, hold up, man. I got to show y'all this. It's gonna take a second because I gotta pull up my Facebook page. But nigga, these motherfucking black people are too good.
Ain't that the best? Ain't
black people the best, man. They really went and found that video, the one where he's in the studio being like, what? Hold on, say it again. And they really made it into like a doctor calling him about his herpes diagnosis, dog. Aww. It's so good.
Oh,
hold on, I gotta share my screen.
Yeah, I got this from the same girl. Same girl. Hey.
Yeah, R. Kelly need to get checked too then.
Come
right?
on, dog.
They was fucking with the same girl.
Yeah, they was.
R. Kelly.
It's all our black heroes in 1 week.
I know,
OJ
right?
OJ got out.
Right? OJ free. Right. Kevin Hart. Come cheating.
On. Come on. Yeah.
Can't believe in nobody.
Can't believe it in nobody. Nope. Usher out there. I just wanna tell you nice and slow. You're gonna feel a little bit of burning and you're gonna break out in a rash. I just wanna tell you nice and slow. That's what I'm
gonna
fuck
really give it to you.
I pull out.
Yes!
Anticipating. Oh, I gotta go on my DMs real quick. I'm sorry I had to see this, but my cousin sent me this shit and it's fucking hilarious. All right, let me see. But yeah, this, and then also he got a new suit for $10 million from another woman.
Wow.
Oh no.
Also the price of the brick went up, didn't it? Damn, that was fast. 1 million to 10, Jesus. I guess that's shit. What happened. But yeah, he got another lawsuit for $10 million for allegedly exposing another woman to herpes. According to TMZ, the suit was filed by Jane Doe. The woman claims she hooked up with Usher in Atlanta on April 16th at her home. Now he's married.
This is recent.
She said the two kissed. She did a little oral on him. Eventually, they had sex and used a condom. She said they hooked up 12 days later in New Orleans, and this time he didn't strap up. He must have thought the breakout was under control, I guess.
Apparently so.
I don't know the rules to this herpes
I don't
shit.
Know.
She's suing him for negligence, battery, and emotional distress. She wants at least $10 million. Hopefully everything works out for Usher and the woman, according to theshaderoom.com. You know the other part of that too. Why is this taking so long to load? The other part of that too though is if I was a woman with herpes, I would go fuck Usher right now while the getting's good. you right? I mean, it's only fair. You gotta fuck him now. Maybe you can get a payout. But like, I was straight to you. You the one that gave me this shit, Usher.
Poor thing.
It's sad. But yeah. Let me see. Why don't this video pop up? I'm gonna refresh and try it again. But yeah, it was so good how many people was getting jokes in. But of course, herpes is no laughing matter, guys. If you have any questions about your STD status, you should probably go to a doctor and get checked out. You know, get you some sort of medical professional to look at that. All right.
Then you know, people look at people funny when they be like, yeah, dog, what you gonna do is what it's kind of what you gonna do is what it's mouth damn, like this is what you gonna do.
Dental damn, you mean?
Yeah, I said mouth damn.
That's the same thing.
Right.
Is it showing up on the screen? Mm-mm. The video? No?
Mm-hmm. Let me, it just now it is. I can see up. It now.
All right, it just popped up. Mm-hmm. All right, let me turn the sound on for y'all then. All right, let me. Is that? Okay, cool. And let me start over. This shit is so funny, y'all. People in the chat for info.
Hello? Yes, hello. Can I speak to Usher Raymond, please?
Yo, I'm in the booth. I'm going to call you right back.
Oh, okay, well, this is an urgent phone call. I'm from the LA Health Department. Could you please not forget to call us back?
Nah, I just got to put this one part down. I'm going to call you back.
Okay, well, you sure you don't have time?
I'm at the studio, man.
Look, you could calm down with all that. I was just calling to let you know that your test results came back positive for herpes.
Man, quit playing with me, man.
Baby, I wish I was playing, but I'm at work and I don't have time for no games.
No, for real, don't play like that.
But what the hell did I just say? Hello? Oh, no, you're not talking.
Are you serious?
What kind of question is that?
How you know?
How do I know? I'm looking at the paper.
Put that on everything.
Everything?
Damn.
Right.
I'm going to call you back.
Do you have any questions you want to ask me?
I'm going to call you back.
Well, he's mad at me because he got herpes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That shit killed. My cousin sent that to me.
And they chopped that up perfectly, too.
Niggas
are so creative.
I am dead, dog. That shit was so good. Whew. Put that on everything. Everything. Well, seriously, oh guys.
What's happening to all the heroes, man?
I don't know, man. You know, did you see Cisco got in trouble for the new thong song?
Oh, what? What?
He got a new thong song.
A new one?
What did he do?
What's wrong with the old one?
You know what? I didn't know that anything was wrong with the old one myself. You know, I thought that was everybody's shit. But apparently, never forget Jesus. Okay, yeah. Cisco returns with thong song remix and breaks Twitter. Matt Whitlock said, never forget. Jesus may have walked on water, but Cisco walked on women. The original thong song video belongs in the Smithsonian. Yeah, I remember that. Anyway, the legendary sassy pants crooner, Cisco, fell out the sky. And
sassy pants crooner? Who writing this?
Blessed us with a... You know who writing this, Karen. Come on. How many of these boss of articles I got to cover before you give it credit? But yeah, apparently he fell out the sky, blessed us with a new thong song remix for the culture, sparked a hilarious hysteria, infectious nostalgia, and shady mayo shenanigans across social media.
Did he remix it up like with the words? Have you heard it? I haven't heard it.
I haven't even heard it yet. No, this is the first time I'm even discussing it, you know, with you guys. I'm gonna get the video to load and we can watch it together if y'all want.
Yeah, let's do that.
But it's interesting though, because you know, people were accusing him of putting too many white women in the video and shit too. I saw that on Twitter. Which I'm like, how do you do that with the thong song, man? The whole thong song was such a, I mean, I know white people listen to it, but that was such like a black moment.
Yeah,
you know,
is his hair still rainbow colors?
I don't know, Karen. I don't know. All right, let me see if I can bring this up. Should pop up on the screen. Wait, why is this not happening? All right, let's try this one more time. Oh, okay, it was just moving slow. All right, let me see, close that. Oh wait, this is just everybody talking about their memories of it. What?
No, that's not the
video. Now I gotta go find the damn thong song video. God damn it, boss.
Remake.
You had one job, Bossip, okay? To just give me what I needed. All right. But, I mean, you know, that's the other thing with Cisco, though. It's like, they put out an article, like, a day before this, and it was like, Cisco was a one-hit wonder. And I was like, harsh. You know? I feel like Cisco's more than a one-hit wonder.
Oh, of course.
You know, come on, guys.
Yeah, they try to shit. I don't like how they try to retroactively shit on some of these celebrities, man. Like, yeah, maybe they fuck up, but I mean, at least the career, don't shit on the career. All
yeah,
I've never been a fan of that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that like that's the thing, because maybe white people just know him for the thong song, but I know niggas know him for Drew Hill.
Come on.
Like, Drew Hill was legendary for about 4 or 5 years there.
Come on, like, does somebody sleeping in my bed? I don't remember the name.
Come on. Come on.
They put like this. My mama, like, she's 70 now. When that song came out, she had to be in her, like, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was riding in the car with her one day. And, you know, kids always think their parents are uncool. I was riding in the car with her one day, and it was on Power 98. And she had nowhere to turn up, talking about, that's my jam. Do you know I looked at her like she had lost her goddamn mind? I'm like, how do you know about this song? And that's when I knew it had crossed the threshold.
Right. That was a lot of shade to say one hit, dog.
Come on.
I mean, Thong Song was dope, though. I mean, it's no shade to the Thong Song. It was dope, but come on, man. We just gonna sleep. You gonna skip over sleeping in my bed, though? Come on, man. Ooh, them niggas was yelling. Alright, so I got the video.
Got this feeling.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It was so good.
That just a won't turn me loose.
It felt like, during the part where it's like the crescendo or whatever, where they all singing at the same time, I just feel like four niggas yelling at you at the top of their lungs.
Sleeping in my bed, right. Messing my head. Yes! Why, oh why, oh why? I love that song.
Oh, man. I gave you my world. Yes. You're like, okay, nigga, okay.
Yes,
okay.
You did. Yes! You gotta have all four of them hot at the same time.
Remember when they had the remix with Jermaine Dupri on it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. You wanted that? I got this feeling. I can't turn it loose.
Yes!
Come on, man.
Yeah, I
got a cold now, so I'm not that good vocally. So, ladies, don't take me vocals are a little messed up sinus.
Oh, I don't know why this video don't want to play. I gotta go directly to YouTube to make this shit play.
I'm
determined now. It's taking so long, the detour. I have to play it.
Yeah, so because we see your shared screen, so everything you do,
okay, so y'all can't see it.
Yeah, it's instant, so we can see you googling and everything.
All right, cool. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so whenever you do find it, we'll all see it.
Damn, this shit got over 1 million views already.
Yeah, people had to see it. I just hadn't seen it yet.
Jesus, buddy. It only came out July 18th. Single out now. Okay. If he make a comeback in 2017, that's going to be the real...
He going to be the real MVP.
Right. That's going to be the real MVP.
This thing right here. Juicy. Come on.
Who's Juicy?
I don't know.
Okay, off tops, there's like 4 or 5 just random white dudes in this video that I think are JCY. I guess that's the group.
Oh, okay.
So they called their song JCY Thong Song featuring Cisco. So already I'm not as hopeful for this video, because I'm like, white dude's version of what some ass look like.
That might be why I have all the white women in it.
Yeah, you know, I think when white dudes talk about a woman's ass, they're talking about the asshole.
Rod,
wait a minute. Why is this turning into white people news already?
Right. I mean, look, I didn't know.
We didn't know.
This is my first time seeing this as well, Chris.
I mean, do we need to play the theme? I didn't know.
I mean, Karen, this might really be white people news. I mean, we already got the song playing.
Yeah, we in the section, so
we already got the acoustic cover of Thong Song, apparently.
I mean, 100 then. He got
She goes to the cruise to connect the dots, not just her baby. Oh, no.
What?
No. These are not dumps like a trunk. You are a motherfucking lying.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
It's a Ford pickup at the best.
What is this, Cisco? Why? How did you even get involved in this project? Oh, they must have paid in cash. Uh-uh. No way.
Dumps like a Subaru.
Right?
Dumps like a Tonka truck.
Right. You had dumps like a Fusion. What are those?
Dumps like a Matchbox truck. Oh my God. That's horrible. Come on, man.
No, that was okay. So they got a sister in here that's okay. Like, I'm not shitting on her. Yeah. But the white girl's ass is just completely white dude. That's white.
Yeah,
dude,
man. That's movie. Not.
Yeah.
There's white girls in porn. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, so they couldn't get no pogs.
Yeah, y'all couldn't find no Pogs?
Yeah, man, come on now.
Who's in charge of scouting for this video, dog?
Right.
Like, it couldn't have been no brothers. Mm-mm. Like, even his sister probably barely passed. Ugh, that's too much. That's, we'll just put her in anyway. Let me see that Is this what cultural appropriation feels like? Because I feel appropriated.
I don't know. And this look like the song they're going to be playing in the white clubs.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely see the thong. I mean, nothing's in the way.
I mean, you can see it. It ain't, you know, ain't like the booties is eating up the thongs, which is what I thought I was going to get.
This
you
is
know?
Classic. Like, no.
This is false advertisement.
No thighs touching in
I these know. Ways. No booty clapping.
Dumps. Dumps like a Mini Cooper.
Right.
Dump, be like, dumps like an electrical car.
Right. She had dumps like a golf cart. Cart. This is bad, man. She liked to dance on the hip-hop spots. She cruised to the cruise to connect the dots. I just heard that she liked to pop. Cause she was living la vida loca. She had dumps like a truck. Fast like what? Yeah, that's terrible. You're gonna need like they're not even using like that wide angle lens to trick you. Like they need something because none of this is working.
Juicy sing? Do these kids sing?
Like what was their job? It sounds like they just remixed the song.
Do they have a list
that wasn't
song?
Theirs?
The Juicy JCY? Where they come from? Never heard of these people in my life.
Stay away from my shit, bruh. Why?
Do all their songs sound like this?
They're a Norwegian production trio consisting of Oslo's top DJs.
So it's
Chris
basically
Welch.
Daft Punk.
I guess so. That's they got horrible. A SoundCloud page.
Yeah, that's horrible, dog.
That I'm not going to listen to. Yeah, I'm not going to listen to it.
Yeah, that's
100.
That's pretty terrible. That's pretty. I guess might as well just move right into fucking with black people then, since Karen's already giving out grades. All right, let me get the black. Okay, here we go.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game goes all around the globe, and we find different articles to make us feel fucked with as black people. We assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. All right. Up first, this comes up from Chris's neck of the woods. New York City.
Oh shit.
Get a rope.
Angry protests erupt at a racist Brooklyn bar that serves 40 ounces of rosé wine in paper bags and brags about its genuine bullet holes in the wall.
Oh wow.
Protests erupted at a Brooklyn. I love how, you know, it's like an angry protest. I'm gonna get to an article in a second now. Y'all about to be mad as fuck, but anyway. It erupted at the Brooklyn bar on Saturday amid anger. They make it sound like black people went up there like the end to do the right thing.
With a DJ box.
Angry protest. Why you ain't got no black niggas on the wall?
I know, they came up with fight the power!
Right. Radio Raheem! But meanwhile, it's just like, you know, a group of black people being like, man, this shit kind of sucks. Anyway, the owners made a decision to make a feature of a bullet damaged wall on the property, sell wine in 40 ounce bottles, and suggest she might wrap beverages in paper bags Dozens met up outside Summerhill, a boozy sandwich shop in Crown Heights neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, to speak out against the bar's commodification of stereotypes that only serve to hurt the community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The area has been rapidly gentrifying in recent years, and the owner, Canadian former corporate lawyer Becca Brennan, has been accused of racism for trading on the neighborhood's African-American roots.
So y'all bought it across the border, I see. Chip, well, you, chip cheerio, here's some maple syrup with some racism. We got it up here too.
Canadian's not racist, Karen.
Whatever.
It's different up there.
They had slavery too. Ginger, that shit up. That shit is across the border too.
They imported that racism. Yeah, they got pictures too with the bullet holes in the wall.
Word, some shit that they wouldn't be caught dead in.
Right.
If it wasn't some shit that somebody painted on the wall.
Right. Summerhill racist, Summerhill gentrified, Summerhill colonial, Summerhill I was getting tired of walking to Franklin. There's a sign someone put on the wall. Miss Brennan wasn't in attendance for the protest, but did release a statement admitting that some of her ideas were insensitive. As part of the bar's opening publicity, Summerhill issued a press statement on Monday featuring a mixed drink next to a damaged wall described as bullet hole ridden and was supposedly part of a rumored backroom illegal gun shop in the past. Yes, that bullet hole ridden wall was originally there, and yes, we're keeping it. It read, the bullet hole ridden wall is actually a fake. It was originally damaged, and Miss Brennan decided to make a feature of it, a decision she later admitted was cheeky. Another of the bar's gimmicks is to sell rose wine in 40-ounce bottles, with Miss Brennan even suggested it should come in paper bags.
What y'all overcharging for?
However, such features have not gone down well with many of the local population. Mm-mm. Read black people.
Right, because y'all bought y'all asses over here, and predominantly it's kind of half and half. Like some neighborhoods are here where you got a million-dollar house, then you literally cross a fence, and it's the crack house, and the crack dealer man lives there.
What's going to happen when I'm from Brooklyn turns into I'm from Brooklyn? Like, because I feel like that's got to have happened at some point where... You know,
it's happening already, dude. It's happening. Like all these places, like when I moved here almost 10 years ago, all these places that that Mos Def and Biggie and Jay-Z rapped about, it's just like, there's mustard shops. I went walk past like a hot sauce shop before, like in Brooklyn. It's like, it's not the same anymore.
The artisanal cheese game is up there.
Yep, and this is some bullshit, man. It's they taking over. There was some article about someplace, Harlem uptown somewhere where some white woman got mad because the ice cream truck was making too much noise.
I'm from Brooklyn, son. I'm from New York. What's really good, son? I don't play no games, yo.
Bitch, the ice cream truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, young. The ice cream truck. They was complaining about the ice cream truck.
She said it'd be going to 2 or 3 in the morning, and she, you know, she just moved.
Yeah.
So.
No, bitch, you just moved here. What the fuck are you complaining about?
The ice cream truck, apparently. One protester told the Daily News on Saturday, people from my culture used to sit on the corner and drink, and they're trying to profitize that, and that is their marketing. It's not cheeky, it's offensive.
Right.
Gothamist asked for clarification on the symbolism, to which Brennan said in the email, I'm not an authority, so I don't feel comfortable commenting on anything other than my business. A new bar, a restaurant that locals and my neighbors seem to really enjoy and appreciate. So now she's not an authority. Because she ain't want to come out and be like, the symbolism is that they niggas.
Right.
And this is Brooklyn, and black people are criminals. That's what the symbolism is. Mm-hmm. Brennan,
I don't know why they don't expect us to show up and be like, hey, that shit racist.
Now she's not an authority, though, right? Peep game.
But you had the authority to make that wall and claim that it was real when it wasn't.
Brennan hails from Toronto, Canada, and attended New York University and worked as a corporate tax attorney for Bristol Myers Squibb before moving to Crown Heights 2 years ago. So she don't come from this at any level. Nathan Lean Bolden, a founding member of Crown Heights Tenants Union and resident of the neighborhood since 1978, voiced her criticism of the establishment. Actions speak louder than words, said the 55-year-old. You are making money off of the negative aspects of a community, which you know you're happy when these things go on because you can make money off of it.
Right.
And it's like, you're not thinking about the black people or the long-term residents in the community, or maybe you are thinking about them, but they don't matter. Brenda released a statement to the initial backlash on Wednesday saying that she planned to talk to her neighbors about positive ways we can be more involved, including with other local small business artists and charities.
Oh, the white folks around you? That troll ain't gonna branch three blocks down to the niggas.
It said, I deeply apologize for any offense for my recent comments, my calls. I did not intend to be insensitive to anyone in the neighborhood. I'm sorry that my words caused pain, and in light of I made light of a serious issues, and that was wrong.
We didn't know niggas was gonna find out and come and protest.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She's sorry she got caught.
Right. She's sorry that the niggas who we thought about, because we thought it would be cute to make fun of them, we didn't think they were going to show up here and protest. I don't know. We're not going to go away. And that's something that really, really makes a lot of white folks mad, that we just don't disappear and go away and let them do what the fuck they want to do.
I would have shown up to the protest, but then I would have went in and got a drink. Like, that would have been funny.
I wonder how good that food is. What if the food's
right.
good?
Right. What if you go in and come out and you be like, hey, man, not for nothing, but this rose wine is good as fuck in this 40-ounce bottle. I mean, no offense. Anyway, I'm on y'all side, though. Hell, get out of my neighborhood. This is what gentrification looks like. It's a sign. I saw, we're a community, not your aesthetic. But the sentiment was already co-signed by people on social media who also voiced their disdain with the restaurant's publicity stunt. User Anglo said, hashtag white people move to the hood, make fun of our struggle, hashtag I'm done, at Al Sharpton _ Rev, at EaterNY, at Gothamist, fake gun hoes, hashtag Summerhill, shaking my head, hashtag BK. I love how people will tag Al Sharpton, but at the same time, we gonna make these jokes about him taking them thought selfies.
Yeah, they don't care nothing about that. We don't care nothing about your thought selfies when we need you to stand up for it.
Yeah, black people are so good, man. Because
that's funny, but now it's time to get serious.
Like, he been roasted for a month. Jay-Z put it on the album, everything. And then it's like some shit go down. It's like, Al, you might want to get this.
Yeah. You can take your selfies later on. We need you to handle this right
buddy,
now.
Buddy, you might want to come handle this. Boycott Summerhill, BK, blatant racism, trash. Go write a 1-star Yelp review, added Joanna Reynolds, posting a link to the shop's Yelp page. They went to that Yelp. That's when it's bad. It's out of control. Instagram, Shania Amoy commented, get out. We don't want you in our community. You are a culture vulture. And you are not welcome here. Your business will fail because you have disrespected the entire community. No one wants you here, and we will not stop protecting until you shut down, I think she meant protester, and go back to wherever you came from. This was even
they
more.
They got a two.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say they got a 2-star rating on Yelp, 42 reviews.
Shit. This was even more of an insult by not seeing the wrong things you've done, no apology, no nothing. And you and anyone else who dares to support this place is disgusted, added another user. One commented on Brennan's absence from the protest and said, you couldn't even show your face today. That's weakness. We will be back. Mm-hmm. Summerhill also took a hit on Yelp, with many leaving 1-star reviews along with messages for the owner. Teresa S. said, awful. The owner should be ashamed of exploiting the past violence of this area. Can't wait to see this business close. Another user called out the establishment in the last 24 hours. Good luck serving tourists that's not going to pay the rent. The neighborhood is built out of so much history, you played yourself, he added. Another user posted, trying to make money by mocking the economic hardships of longtime residents. This place should not have the right to exist. I can't wait to see his door shuttered. So, yeah. Pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm on this Yelp page, man. They getting on them, y'all.
What they saying?
So, we're trying to find, speaking as a native of Crown Heights who has lived through years of volatile summers, drive-by shooting, random acts of violence, and kidnappings, you are exactly the type of parasite we fear is increasingly moving into our neighborhood. Interested in seeing if you will rework your non-apology in time for the town hall on Saturday. So this was on the 20th. And then they going in, man.
Mm-hmm. Well,
shit. Wait, 40 ounces of wine for $16? Oh, what the fuck? This guy liked it. Too bad. The new recent news triggered all the self-hating white hipsters and Hillary-loving jobless liberals who have been hashtag resisting for the last 9 months, who have finally found something else to get offended by and will happily spend all of their time now protesting. Hashtag make America great again.
Yeah, that person did not go to the bar. I guarantee that's just no. The same way that the people were saying that they one star, they didn't go to the bar, neither did that dude.
Go buy a local bodega sandwich. Some people are getting in, they say go buy a local bodega sandwich. It's probably better too. It's mm-hmm. some bullshit.
And they got authentic bullet holes. Hundreds, mm-hmm. hundreds of 10 to Mark. Oh, wait, 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh, 100.
Chris?
100.
All right, I gotta give it 100 too. Hundreds of 10 to march in honor of a woman killed by police. Now, keep in mind, we just talked about the angry protest at a bar that was deemed to be racist, in quotes. Meanwhile, I've seen publications write about the shooting of Justine Diamond, a fatal shooting, as a killer cop. Mm-hmm. I believe he's already been charged.
Putting his religion out there.
Huh?
They're putting his religion out there.
They put out that he's Muslim, that he's brown. And now when a lot of people, and I mean, there were black and brown people here, by the way, shout out to All Lives Matter, for never showing up. But, a lot of, black and brown people even went down and protested, at the, police, headquarters. And when they wrote about it, on the internet, many sites called it a peaceful march. A vigil. There was no angry, it wasn't a riot. It wasn't an angry protest. It was everything but that. Hundreds of 10 march in honor of woman killed by police. Hundreds of people gathered Thursday night at the Minneapolis site of Justine Diamond's fatal shooting, where they held a vigil before marching to a nearby park to continue their remembrance of the Australian expatriate. Diamond, 40, called 911 to report a sexual assault she suspected outside her home. Once two officers identified as Matthew Harity and Muhammad Noor arrived at the house, she approached the driver's side of the squad car. Just after Harity heard a loud sound near the car, according to Minnesota Department of Public Safety, Noor, who was sitting in the passenger seat, then fired his weapon through the open driver's side window. The Minnesota Department of Public Safety said Diamond was pronounced dead at the scene. Man, a lot of details came out right away, huh? Hmm. Normally it takes months and months to get the police to assume.
Normally you have to do Freedom Information Act to get anything.
A large crowd gathered outside Diamond's house, including Valerie Castile, the mother of Philando Castile, and an African-American man who was shot and killed by police officer 1 year ago, according to ABC affiliate KSTP. The crowd stood silently and hugged each other while one speaker said, "We gather here before you in our heartbreak and our longing for healing." Yeah, that Philando Castile shit is going to be wild, too, because, like, I saw people that were kind of upset that she came out because they felt like, man, she's comforting these white people and all that shit. And I don't feel that way.
But a lot of people have to realize this right here, it's what it should be every time. And that's the problem. People have a problem with anybody that gets shot by the police. This is what you should see every single motherfucking time. You should not have these numbers only when white people get shot and killed. Mm-hmm. When black people get shot, these numbers don't show up. These 53% haircut women ain't nowhere to be fucking found when it's a black man, a black woman, a black child, a trans person of color, Muslim, Asian. You're not there for these people. And that's why it's frustrating. I understand why she showed up, because the same person that shot her, she lost a family member also. It's that solidarity of support, which I'm completely here with. You know, they should be supported, but the frustration comes in is that next time a black man shows up, a lot of people not give a fuck. And also, in my opinion, what's also disheartening is that you care more about a person that's not even from the fucking United States. I hate to be like this. This woman does not live here. She's white, but she doesn't live here. There's white people that die in this country, too. You don't show up for numbers like for the white people to get injustice here that also get shot by the police officers that protest, too. And it's one of these things where, are y'all showing up?
Are they white women.
Right. Right. Are they white women?
Because even when a person gets shot by the cops here, many cases, even when it's a white person, it's a white dude.
Right, now, right.
An attractive white woman being shot and killed by the police, that the same reason that an attractive white woman mobilizes national news to be like, what, she's missing, we have to find Stacey Jones, like, you know, like, we, everybody learns her name. Yeah. Like, that same machine is at work here. That's why this is happening. Now, I personally don't feel any offense. I understand people that feel a certain way about seeing a black woman comfort somebody, but I would never tell somebody who's been a victim of one of these crimes how they should act.
Right.
And I also understand how people, how optically it can make people feel a certain way, and there's really nothing, like, if that's your feelings, that's your feelings. There's nothing you can do about it. But I don't feel that way. I think if anything, it points out the glaring hypocrisy of the system, the justice system, that, you know, now you see people supporting, now you see people coming out. The reason they wrote about this march in such kind tones is because white people were there. It's the same reason they wrote about the pussy hat march in kind tones and talked about the police wearing pussy hats and shit. If the presence of white people gets shit done, whether people want to admit it or not, whether
right.
I'm not saying it's fair, I'm not saying it should be that way, but if white people showed up for Philando Castile in numbers like this, you would have news covering it and being like, oh, it was a peaceful march. Oh, it was a, you know what I mean? But white people don't care, so they won't show up. You know, they'll show up if a motherfucking dentist kills a lion in Africa and takes a picture of it, but they won't show up if a cop kills an unarmed black person or a registered gun on a black person that told him, I have a gun in the car, please don't shoot, and gets killed. Like, we, in front of, you know, a baby and his girlfriend, like, we, like, it's just totally, the response is just totally different.
Yeah, and it's one of these things where the same way you feel about this woman is, regardless of if she's in the United States or not, this same empathy and sympathy and compassion that you have for her, have it for other people to get killed by the police officers too. You have more compassion for that damn dog that we seen that the people got paid all that money for. More people have more compassion for a fucking dog than they did for another human being.
Yep. But and yeah, go ahead.
Didn't the sheriff or the police chief step down because of this?
Yep. Already.
And I think she's, and wasn't this the same person in charge when Philando got killed?
Yep. Sure was.
Yeah.
But now this mm-hmm. one was too much. It was too much. I think haven't they already charged the dude too? I think they already charged him. Like,
oh, he gonna be an example. They're gonna hang him out to dry.
Another, so zero to 100K.
For the front march itself.
Just a 0 for 100 on the story, whatever.
I'm gonna give it a 50 because of the title of the article. I don't mind them marching and protesting, but I'm gonna give it 50 because of the way it was worded. Okay. Like, I have a problem with that. But like, people march and protest, it's some thugs, we riots, you know, we were starting confusion. You'd have had the pepper spray on us.
Chris?
100. They fucking with us even when they not.
Yeah, I gotta give it 100 as well, because that fucked with me a lot, seeing that, especially juxtaposed to those two articles. Like I said, one article to me just as peaceful.
Come on.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's an angry protest. The, like, with the Justin Diamond thing, that literally was an angry protest, and they wrote the article as a peaceful march, a vigil in the honor of, like, it's ridiculous. It's infuriating. A man who pushed a passenger to his death on the subway tracks is acquitted. It was a grisly scene that combined two deep-seated preoccupations for many New Yorkers, the fear of encountering drunk or deranged people on the subway and the terror of being pushed onto the subway track. From the moment of his arrest, Naeem Davis, a black man, 34, maintained he acted in self-defense just after noon on December 3rd, 2012, where he shoved Ki Suk Han, 58, in the chest and sent him into the tracks at the 49th Street subway station in Manhattan. A few minutes later, Mr. Han, who was too drunk to climb up to the platform, was crushed by a Q train while bystanders waved frantically at the driver to stop. The two men had bumped into each other near the turnstiles, and Mr. Davis told the police that Mr. Hahn had followed him down the platform, berating him with obscenities, grabbing his shoulder, and hurling death threats. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office never believed Mr. Davis' story. Prosecutors brought a murder charge against him, arguing that he had shown depraved indifference to Mr. Hahn's life when he pushed him onto the tracks. Mr. Davis was also charged with first and second degree manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. They threw the book at him. On Monday, after a three-week trial, testimony from more than 30 witnesses and 4 days of deliberations, a Manhattan jury found Mr. Davis not guilty on all charges. Mr. Davis, you are free to go, Justice Mark Dwyer said after the jury of 7 women and 5 men rendered the verdict in the state Supreme Court in Manhattan. Mr. Davis, a refugee from Sierra Leone, who performed odd jobs for vendors around Times Square, had no fixed address, showed little emotion, and declined to speak to reporters as he left the courtroom. He had been in city jails for 4.5 years.
Woo!
The jury forewoman, Gretchen File, hugged Mr. Davis as he walked out. For me, there was a lack of evidence, Ms. File, 39, said, who teaches linguistic anthropology at New York University. I think the vast majority of us from the beginning of our deliberations believe the prosecution had failed to prove that a defendant was not justified in his actions. And by the end of our deliberations, I believe we were of one mind that he was in fact justified in his actions. Mr. Hahn's death became notorious in part because a photographer for the New York Post captured it on film. The tabloid ran a cover picture of Mr. Hahn with the train bearing down on him in the headline, "Doomed." Remember that? But people were like, why the fuck didn't you help him? But you stood there and took a fucking picture of this man to die. Remember that controversy? I don't know if y'all remember that.
Vaguely.
Yeah, because I remember people being like, so wait, you had the heartlessness to set up and take the perfect photo of this nigga about to get killed by a train rather than to help this man get out while you could? But yeah, so... they ran that cover and it was headline "Doomed." Early tabloid articles referred to Mr. Davis as a subway fiend. Evidence at the trial included 1 hour and 45 minutes of video during which Mr. Davis told two prosecutors he had thrown Mr. Hahn into the tracks in self-defense. Mr. Davis also took the stand in his own defense, saying he feared for his life when Mr. Hahn accosted him from behind, grabbing his shoulder. To be honest, I thought the man was mentally ill, he said. Mr. Davis testified that he had yelled at Mr. Hahn to go to the other end of the platform and leave him alone, but Mr. Hahn kept repeating a threat to kill Mr. Davis, a statement one other witness also heard. When Mr. Davis and Mr. Hahn said he grabbed his right shoulder with his left hand, the man put his hands on me, I pushed him off of me. But prosecutors presented two witnesses who said they never saw Mr. Hahn lay a hand on Mr. Davis during the altercation. One of them, Zachary Block, said he saw Mr. Hahn remove his hands from his pocket and hold up one hand. Mr. Block said he then saw Mr. Davis crouch and hit the man in the solar plexus with such force it lifted him off his feet and propelled him onto the tracks. During closing arguments, Mr. Davis's lawyer, Stephen Polkert, argued that Mr. Davis's actions had been rational and measured, given Mr. Hahn had twice threatened him with death and would not leave him alone. He said Mr. Davis, who stands 5'9" and weighs 150 pounds, had fear for his life because Mr. Hahn had apparently sounded deranged, even though he's 5'3", 122 pounds. When the smaller man raised his hand, Mr. Davis thought he was going to make good with his threats. He took him at his word and gave Mr. Hahn a hard push. Mr. Davis was defending himself. But Charles Witt, the lead prosecutor in the case, argued that Mr. Davis, even if he had been afraid, still had the duty to retreat before using force against Mr. Hahn, who could have pushed Mr. Hahn to the side and slipped away. But Mr. Witt said, rather than shoving him toward the tracks, where he would be in mortal peril. This is not a stand your ground situation, he said. He could have gone left. He could have gone right. He could have gotten out of there any moment. The prosecutor said Mr. Davis must have known Mr. Hahn was drunk and reeked of alcohol and noted he had told prosecutors who first interviewed him that Mr. Hahn was staggering. The medical examiner found Mr. Hahn had 3 times the legal limit of alcohol in his blood when he died. How'd they figure that out if he got hit by the train? What he did was the equivalent of throwing a drunk high school student on the tracks or a feeble old man. He was no threat to Mr. Davis, and Mr. Davis knew it. Mr. Witt also noticed Mr. Davis, after seeing Mr. Hahn crushed by a Q train, had gathered a cup of coffee, his headphones, and his jacket, which he had placed behind him during the confrontation and left the station. Then he continued his normal work day. Mr. Witt argued that this showed his extreme indifference to Mr. Hahn's death. The fact that, what was he supposed to do though? Sit on the side, start crying? The fact that he went back to his regular routine after he killed someone speaks volumes. He didn't spill he didn't spill a drop of that coffee. So basically he got, so essentially they had this motherfucker in jail for 4.5 years on a trumped up murder charge rather than self-defense because he didn't show remorse that that dude died and finished his coffee
and went back to work.
Yeah. Mr. Davis, who left Sierra Leone during the Civil War there, became an American citizen, left the courthouse around 2 p.m. Let me tell you something, man. That nigga has probably seen so much shit before he even got here.
Ain't the first time he's seen somebody die in front of him.
Right, he like, okay, nigga. That was senseless. I don't know why he wanted to die so bad. Yep. Looking like I need to get on out of here. Had to work.
With my day.
All right. This is not my first after death coffee. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm not spilling it. I ain't no rookie. So, yeah. He said he was going to go have a good meal and then travel to Paris to see his parents and other relatives. And he did not say if he would return to the United States. I feel good. I'm thankful for my freedom. Yeah, I wouldn't return after 4.5 years in prison, dog. In jail, just waiting trial. Like, I got acquitted. I still lost 4.5 years of my life. Karen, 0 to 100.
100, because, yeah, they're not going to pay him for that time he lost.
Chris?
100.
Yeah. I'll give this a 75 because he was not convicted. You know, normally we don't see that, man. And he had a fucking hurdle to overcome. I'm sure there are still people that think he's guilty because that, all the framing of those first articles was like a homeless black man throws a person onto the tracks, an innocent man onto the track. Everything I read. And then, of course, you had the controversy with the dude taking a picture of it when he probably could have got down there and helped the dude if they really was about that. But it wasn't really about that, and everybody knows that. Mm-mm. So, all right, let's get into some other news, guys. Let's try to lighten the mood up with some white people news, okay? Mm-hmm. This is Chris's one of Chris's favorite segments, everybody.
Indeed.
And, of course, in order to start it, I have to... had to play a cover song. Let me try to get this up on the screen. And we're getting close to the break, so after I play the cover song, I probably have to go to the next session real quick. So, all right, is it showing on the screen yet, Karen?
No.
Nope. Okay. All right. Give it a second. If not, I will try again. Man, why is this taking so long? Boy, today has been a day with this damn computer.
It really has.
All right, let me try. You know what? I'm going to go to the next session now, and I'm going to invite everybody on screen. So, Chris, you'll get an invite back on screen in 1 second. Give me a second, everybody. Let's just move to the next section.
Okay.
Oh, of course, as soon as I hit that, the fucking thing shows up. You motherfucker.
We're going to the next session.
Yeah. And that was telling me y'all not connected. Okay, internet's still working. All right, let me just go to the next section. The computer just acting stupid, y'all. You know, it's black. It's calling out of work.
Duh.
Tiffany Haddish computer. All right. But yeah, I do want to get into some white people news. I feel like everything's been pretty heavy lately, so we're getting to white people news, some more positive things happening in the world. You know, try to remind people why we do this, what white people are into, traveling and living their very specific dreams. All right, I am back on screen now, and I'm about to invite you and Chris back. Just invited you, Karen. And let me find Chris real quick in here. There he is. I will invite him back on screen. And then I should share my screen so we can all watch this together.
Okay, the chat came back because the chat was missing for a hot minute.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was doing.
I could see us, but I couldn't see the chat.
Oh, I think I must have clicked something.
Oh, they made it go away or something.
Yeah. All right. My bad, y'all.
Okay.
Shit.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you, Chris.
All right, cool.
All right, now let's get to the white people news song. Is it showing on the screen yet?
Yes, it is.
All right, here we go, guys. All right. Yeah. One of Chris's favorite jams.
Oh, Lord.
They love Redbone, don't they?
Oh, this might be all right. Maybe it's just an instrumental. Damn it. Change it from made a nigga wait.
Oh yeah, they know better.
Some pretty good harmonies.
Mm-hmm. See how they handle the end bomb. Fredo singing.
All right, you guys.
All right. They handled it good. Ooh, now stay woke.
They stay creeping.
They do stay creeping. That is true. Who is they? The niggas.
Yeah, you ought to know who they is. If you don't, sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
Karen, pull me a 40 of rose wine and give me my paper bag.
Yes!
Yeah, $30 BLT sandwich.
Yeah!
Oh, it's extra for the avocados.
I want you to make it with artisanal cheese, please.
You know, the kind can't nobody pronounce. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, he went deep on him.
Whoa. I don't know about that one.
He tried to do something new. All right. That's enough, white folks. That's you almost had it though. They got pretty deep into that.
Before, I'm not mad.
Before ruining it.
Neither am I. All
that's right.
A little Remy Shan vibe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah, a lot better than the other ones.
That one dude look a little like Justin Timberlake to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's talk about white people news. What white folks are into? Miley Cyrus, a staple in the white folks news.
Yes, she is.
She said she felt sexualized while twerking during the 2013 MTV VMA performance.
Bitch, if you don't get out of here.
She did it. Did it or say nobody tell her to do it, not to do that performance?
Did nobody tell you to put your chicken wings out there and start moving around? That was on you.
The cutlet cheeks.
Right.
Yeah, y'all sexualized her, hip hop. Why'd y'all do that to that poor little white girl, little precious white girl?
First of all, bitch.
That was choice. And then you try to fight everybody when people's like, girl, you know you bought some black people out there and you looked crazy.
During the show, she wore a latex bra and pants and stuck her tongue out while rubbing herself against Robin Thicke. Mm-hmm. She was forced to defend the performance with some fans backing her, but others say they were shocked. It became something that was expected of me, she told Harper's Bazaar magazine.
Mm-mm.
She retreating to whiteness. Oh, she backpedaling so good. Like, seriously. Josh Norman couldn't backpedal this good.
All this is choice, baby. This is your decision and your choices.
I didn't want to show up to photo shoots and be the girl who would get my breast out and stick out my tongue. In the beginning, it was kind of like saying, screw you, girls should be able to have this freedom or whatever. But it got to a point where I did feel sexualized.
Because you wanted to be you grown.
Miley Cyrus, 24, has changed her image again for the release of her new album, Malibu. This time around, she's giving her music more of a country feel that has a more conservative look compared to her Bangers days.
Right.
Oh, my God. Look at this picture.
Because Bangers didn't sell like she thought. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She retreated to 100% whiteness. You like, y'all, I'm white and I'm back.
She don't even like the same girl. And she has a sweater on laying in the grass with flowers in her hair, y'all. Oh, my God.
That's the reverse OJ putting on the kufi and the kente. The joint, what's the, oh my God.
Yeah, she was like, y'all.
You know when OJ came back?
Yes, yes.
OJ came back to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, y'all,
she had the dashiki and the kufi on.
I know, I shop at Trader Joe's.
Yeah, the dashiki.
Right. What'd you say, Karen?
I said, she
back, young.
Yeah, she got that. I shop at Trader Joe's and you should too.
Mm-hmm. She's like, what's going on at the Whole Foods, though? Last year, she said she now identifies as pansexual after struggling with her sexuality when she was younger. But she says it's not her fault that she shocked people while twerking. People were so shocked by some of the things that I did, she says. Yeah, you went on stage with a dildo. I mean, you were trying to shock people. Fuck out of here.
Right.
It should be more shocking that when I was 11 or 12, I was put in full hair, makeup, and a wig and told what to wear by a group of mostly older men. It's no wonder that a lot of people lose their way and lose who they really are because they always have people telling them who to be. You know what I like about that, though? She's retreating to the white feminism TM. Because she'll never address the fact that, like, I was being sexualized, guys. Like, well, you hired black women dancers to twerk around you and you smacked their asses. What about you sexualizing them? Aren't men the worst?
And that's what it's about.
It's really more about men just being the worst, guys. Since the release of the streaming only 2015 album, Miley Cyrus and her dead pets, the singer has been busy with other projects outside of music. She also rekindled her relationship with Australian actor Liam Hemsworth, and the pair got engaged for the second time in October. Man, Liam, for real? She says she's still learning who she is. I think I'm just figuring out who I am at such a rapid pace that it's hard for me to keep up with myself. She says people get told that it's a bad thing to change. Like, people will say you change and that's supposed to be derogatory, but you were supposed to change all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's like what we were talking about earlier in the show, where white people get to reinvent themselves. And
yes,
so the last album
do.
Flopped, so she's going back to her country roots.
Yeah,
yeah. I think last week we covered a thing about one woman was singing and then she caught lip syncing and she just retreated into whiteness and was like, well, fuck it, I'll just be white and have babies.
And it's funny because that's happening to black, like, she blamed hip-hop and then she blamed being sexualized for putting on this black urban aesthetic of I twerk, I have black dancers, I do rap songs now. She goes, I'm a victim of that. So you a victim of yourself then, right?
Right.
Because you chose to do that.
Right. Didn't nobody ask your ass to come over here? I don't know who sent her the invitation and she accepted it, but we did not say, hey girl, come over here. You bought your ass over here.
Yeah, you're not 11 no more. You weren't 11 when you did that shit. Now you want to act like you're a victim.
Come on, Rod. Come on. Yes. She's a 24-year-old kid.
That's true. She's a delicate white angel.
She's a kid. Come on.
That's a good point. My fault, y'all.
Nope. Grown.
So, Lena Dunham is in the news. Another staple of white people news.
Yeah, she is. She don't never go away.
She apparently is going to be in American Horror Story's new season.
You know what? I don't care. I don't watch that show.
She'll be joining Evan Peters, Sarah Paulson, Billy Lord, and Billy Eichner in the season. That's a veritable cornucopia of whiteness right there, guys. Thrilled with my talented friend Lena Dunham is joining the American Horror Story family. Always wanted to work together and now we are, said Ryan Murphy. Since Girls wrapped up a few months ago, Dunham has mostly made headlines over drama with her dogs. Remember, we talked about that dog that she sent back after the 90 days.
Come on, you abused that dog and sent that dog back to that shelter. The shelter was like, hey, we would not dare, we got a reputation here, we wouldn't dare give you a dog that was damaged.
So the collaboration is an upgrade in that sense, but American Horror Story fans have been less than impressed, to say the least. I watched every single American Horror Story, even the episodes started getting corny as fuck. What fed tweet? What I'm not gonna do is watch Lena Dunham anything. I wonder what, guess the race of that commenter, right?
They're black, because you know a lot of black people love this show and actually, you know, been watching it since the very beginning.
They had like, Angela Bassett on it.
Right, and then like, what we not gonna do is support this bullshit.
They canceled Screen Queens just to give us Lena Dunham season of American Horror Story. AHS fandom, we want to Aisa, Jessica, and Lily back as regular. Ryan, thrilled that my talented friend Lena Dunham is joining them American Horror Story. Dunham hasn't tweeted about the announcement yet, but she did tweet about internet teens being way harsh, Ty, and a few hours afterwards. Oh my God, internet teens are way harsh, Ty. Also, potentially too young to understand way harsh, Ty.
What the hell is that?
I don't know what way harsh, Ty is.
Okay.
Is it a quote from a movie?
Is it a phrase? Is it Latin? What is it?
Someone in the chat room that speaks white probably can give us a...
The one up on it. I don't know white people slang.
Yeah, way harsh, Ty, T-A-I.
He says it's from the movie Clueless. Okay. Ty is one of the characters, right?
Okay, that was way harsh, Ty. Okay, I see.
Okay.
All right, cool. Okay, I get it. All right, well, you know, good on you, Lena. Continue to work.
Oh, she'll never have a job.
Keeping her cool. Melanie Griffith displays toned arms and sleeveless shirt as she enjoys lunch with a male pal.
Oh shit, now we're getting down to the good shit. Mm-hmm. White people I don't know.
Melanie Griffith, she's a busy star.
I don't be knowing these white folks. I know them by their actors and performance.
I love how Karen doesn't know them.
She don't never know.
No, Roger had to tell me who they perform as. I'm like, oh, I know that nigga. You say their real name. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
She's a busy star, but on Saturday, Melanie Griffith took a break from it all after she grabbed lunch with a male pal. The 59-year-old's
tone. Oh, shit.
Yeah, talk about burying the lead, right? Because if this is Bossa, we'd be like, swirl alert.
Yes, he got an American flag shirt on. Stars, stripes, and stars are swirling.
Is Melanie Griffith getting her 59-year-old cake smashed to smithereens by this patriotic swirl bait?
Yes, patriotic.
I can see it.
The 4th of July fireworks are swirling in her life.
Mm-hmm. She was like, they called her arms toned, and I feel like that's... That's a bit...
His is toned.
That's a bit of a misnomer. Like, Angela Bassett's arms would beat the shit out of these arms.
Yeah.
But anyway, the disaster artist was relaxed in a set of leggings paired with ballet flats. The mother of three accessorized with shades and diamond studs and crossbody bag. Melanie's unidentified male pal displayed his physique in the U.S. print sleeveless shirt and light shorts. Unidentified. Is that what we're going with? December 2015, she officially divorced her husband of 19 years, Antonio Banderas. The couple first married in 1996, welcoming daughter Stella that September. Melanie has two daughters from her first husband, Don Johnson. Since her divorce from Antonio, the Spanish actor, 56, has moved on with his girlfriend, Nicole Kempel. Melanie appears to be single for the time being. Despite their past, the two are still working together. Melanie will star in Akil, a film directed by Antonio. The movie does not yet have a release date. This year, the actress will appear in The Disaster Artist after having starred in Dabka and The Path. But she like she on the path to getting her cake smashed by this dude. Mm-hmm. He definitely chopping him down. Look at that.
You know he is.
He ain't got no
personal trainer or somebody.
Right. You know what? A lot of these older divorced women be getting that personal trainer dick, man. That's really like the gateway dick to another famous nigga. It's like, well, let me fuck my personal trainer for a while. You know?
Right, because he ain't going to say nothing. Yep. I'm paying him to be here.
Yep.
And I didn't realize there's a whole genre of porn behind personal trainers, in case you shout out, in case anybody want to know.
Oh, yeah. A social media star who terrorized his neighborhood is dropped by Disney. but millennial influencer who caused chaos with his huge parties and stunts insists that he's outgrown the Disney Channel.
Oh shit. He outgrown Mickey?
Disney wasn't doing nothing but holding him back, y'all.
holding him back with them checks.
With them checks, yeah. Them mouse checks. Disney star Jake Paul, who is accused of terrorizing his West Hollywood neighborhood, was dropped by the network, but the millennial influencer insisted that he's outgrown the channel. The 20-year-old made the announcement Saturday evening on Twitter. He said he'll be parting ways with Disney just days after accusations made headlines. Paul has portrayed Dirk on Disney Channel's Bizardvark, but for the last 2 years. My team, Disney Channel, and I have come to the agreement. It's finally time for me to move up from Disney and the Disney family and Bizardvark, Paul said in a statement posted to his Twitter. Nigga got fired. It was like, we've come to a joint mutual agreement. The YouTube star.
I hope you save some of that money, because Disney, from what I hear, Disney money, Mickey Mouse checks is, you get a lot of cheese with the cheese he be giving.
It's a steady check, brother.
Come on, dog.
It's a steady check.
This goes back full circle to what we were talking about like earlier. You can just be leaving.
Gotta go live his specific dream, dog. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. We gonna come back. He gonna be traveling Europe, backpacking, acoustic artist. He gonna be something else.
Yep. The YouTube star, who is famed for his crazy pranks, which have included throwing a Harley Davidson in his backyard pool and setting furniture on.
Them pictures is expensive.
And setting furniture on fire, said that being a part of the Disney family for the past 2 years was incredible and a dream come true. The network also released a statement thanking him for his work. We've mutually agreed that Jake Paul will leave his role on the Disney Channel series Bizardvark, the statement read.
I don't know if I've seen that show, and the kids will be all right.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
They actually got a video. Let me see if I can play this shit. What's going on with this video? Is it playing?
Bizardvark.
You don't know how you turn the sound.
They say he terrorized his neighborhood, and his neighbors hated him. So.
That's right. Rick and MB, he is a social media megastar.
Oh, this is too quiet. It's too quiet. I can't play this. Anyway, Paul wrote that he loves his castmates who continue to support Disney. He made headlines when families in the L.A. neighborhood accused him of turning their lives into a living hell. And while his 8.5 million young followers may be impressed with his antics, his neighbors are not. Paul and his squad love to throw rowdy parties. While he often publicizes his address, which allows hordes of his young fans called Paulers to show up outside his home.
Why, I'd have been pissed too. All of a sudden I see all these teeny boppers outside my goddamn house.
It used to be a really nice quiet street. Crazy. It used to be a really nice and quiet street, and now it's just this, like, war zone. Maytal Dahan told KTLA, we're families here and we're more than happy to have them live here if they're respectful of their neighbors, but they're not. Neighbors are even considering banding together to file a class action public nuisance lawsuit against Paul and the homeowner. They say not only is Paul annoying, but he's dangerous. His fire stunt when he set a blaze of furniture in his pool saw flames reach the height of their home. Meanwhile, Paul seemed amused by the miseries imposing on those around him. The neighbors hate me, he told KTLA, laughing. Damn, look at this picture of this fire. Y'all see this?
Ooh.
It's crazy, yo.
Holy shit.
What, he's 20-some years old? You ain't never dealt with no old white people with money. Like, I know you got money, too, but for some of them, they're like, oh, bitch, what you gonna do is get here. They probably got lawyers that's working pro bono for this. They're like, look, y'all, I got you.
Well, a reporter told him the locals fear he has turned the neighborhood into a circus with his nonstop parties and dangerous stunts. The millennial replied, but I mean, people like going to circuses.
Not in their own neighborhood, dog.
Paul was then seen running. He was seen running and skipping through the streets before climbing on top of a KTLA van, ignoring the pleas of staffers to stop. Eventually, Paul, who appeared to be challenged in the attention span department, returned to the interview where he was able to compose himself for a second and say, it's terrible. It's a bad situation. I feel bad for them, but there's nothing we can do. Jake Paulers are the strongest army out there. Dab, he added, pulling the 2016 cliche dance move before pointing at the reporter's shoes and screeching, what are those? And then running away with his friends.
I haven't heard
he dabbed on him.
Yeah, I haven't heard him and his crew. Well, they call him crew, I'm sorry. Him and his posse, but you know, we hadn't used the word posse. Yeah, this is gonna be really interesting, and I guarantee you before the end of the year he'll be on somebody else's show.
It's just a collection. He's a collection of memes.
Right.
Even the way he talks. Dab, and then what are those? And then running away. Like, it's just, like, there's no, he has no responsibility. That's just what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He has a song called It's Every Day, Bro, featuring Team 10. It has an official music video.
Y'all can't handle this. Y'all don't know what's about to happen, baby. Team 10. Los Angeles, Cali boy. But I'm from Ohio, though. White boy. It's every day, bro, with the Disney Channel flow. 5 mil on YouTube in 6 months. Never done before. Pest all the competition, man. PewDiePie is next. Man, I'm popping all these checks. Got the brand new Rolex. And it matched the Lambo, too. And I'm coming with the crew. This is Team 10, bitch. Who the hell I'm flipping you? And you know I kick them out.
First of all, this video has only white people in it. Like, his entire crew is nothing but white folks, man. How is that possible? And you rapping. Like, a rap video with nothing but white people in it?
He got the money. He don't give a fuck.
Also,
there's no black dude to legitimize him. Like, there's no black guy that's like, hey, guys, I co-signed this kid.
Everybody knows you got to make the black weed dealer your homeboy. Right? Everybody knows it's like a standard white trope. Like, you gotta, the black dude you buy your drugs from becomes the homie in the crew. Everybody knows that.
I bet you the mouse in this was like, oh, what you ain't gonna do is talking about you got a Disney flow in your rap video. That's what you ain't gonna do.
I just can't believe they let this shit go on at Disney for 2 years. Jesus, boy. Man, every day.
You don't think that they would.
It is the 10th most disliked video in YouTube history.
Even the white folks are like, no. When the white folks tell you no, that's when you know shit got real.
Why you hating on his crew?
Talking shit on Twitter too, but you still hit my phone last night. It was 4:52 and I got the text approved and all the recordings too. Don't make me tell them the truth. And I jerked off some new merch and it's selling like a god church. Ohio's where I'm from. We chew them like it's gum. We shooting with a gun.
He had a gun tattoo on his leg, y'all. A gun tattoo. And by the way, it's not even colored in. It's just outline. It must be
they
so good.
The fried chicken shirts. What's up with this?
OFC? I think that's Ohio something crew.
Oh, well, he turned around and looked like the Kentucky Fried Chicken Man.
Maybe that's
it. I cannot be outdone. Chick Paul is number one. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. I said it's every day.
Who's this nigga? Hold up. What is happening?
He's popping colors.
Hold up.
In a blue jean jacket. Yes.
He's like one of the dudes in the Tim and Eric show. This is serious? Oh my God, dog.
Got that white boy fade.
Looks like the manager at a pizza shop. So he's rapping too?
I guess so.
England is my city, and if it weren't for Team 10, then the U.S. would be shitty. I'll pass it to Chance, cause you know he's a litty. 2 months ago, you didn't know my name, and now you want my fame? Bitch, I'm blowing up, I'm only going up. Now I'm going off, I'm never falling off like Mag. Who? DG who? Who are you? All these beats I just ran through, hit a million a month. Where were you?
Yo, honestly, dog, this feels like they went to a studio and just started freestyling this whiteness. And they were like, we should make a video out of this. Cause it's got the same type of vibe as, the football team when they was freestyling. On the U, like it got the same vibe of like, we just making shit up. Everybody's having fun, but we should never release this. It should never see the light of day.
That, and I'm pretty sure. Black people made money off of recording this. I'm pretty sure they went to some black people. Hey,
in the studio.
Yeah, so niggas made their money. They just ain't the video. They were like, yeah, pay us $1,000 an hour. We'll be more than happy to produce this for you.
Yeah.
They on that Greg Olsen shit.
I want that. I need. I was going to say, we need a feature from Third Leg Greg on the remix.
Oh, Lord. on.
Third Leg Greg would have showed these boys what's what though. I feel them.
You hating on me back in rest, fake, you need to get your shit straight. Jakey brought me to the top, now we really popping off. Number one and number four, that's why these fans all at our door. It's lonely at the top, so we all going. We left Ohio, now the trio's all rolling. It's Team 10, bitch, we back again. Always first, never last, we the future. We'll see you in the... It's every day, bro, it's every day, bro. It's every day, bro, I said it's every day, bro.
Can we switch the language? We better hit it. Lo único que quiero
es dinero. Oh, you got some Latino dudes in it.
How long is this video?
Say what?
Chris, say how long is the video?
How long is this?
It's got it's
long as shit.
It's only got a minute left. It's only 3:40. It feels like it's 10 minutes long.
It does, don't it?
I really looked at the time when Chris said it was like 2:20. That's all we've been listening to? Jesus Christ, buddy.
The Lord of the Rings fucking video.
I wonder if these Latino dudes is considered like our versions of coons, like, you know, like Spanish, the Latino version of coons for being in this video with these white folks.
And it's like people looking like,
well, they all cooning.
Yeah,
people looking like, we don't know none of y'all, but y'all the hottest thing out there,
right? They gonna be like saying this every day, hermanos and shit. Oh man.
It's every day, hermano.
It's every day, bro. I said it's every day, bro.
Yo, it's Esther, bro. The competition shook. These guys up on me. I got him with the hook. Let me educate you. And I ain't talking book. Panera is your home. So stop calling my phone. I'm flying like a drone. Stay buying like a loan. Yeah, I smell good. Is that your boy's cologne?
Is that your boy's cologne? Started balling quick in loans. Now I'm in my flipping zone. Yes, they all copy me, but that's some shitty clones. Staying all designer clothes, and they ask me what I make. I said it's 10 with 6 in rows. Always plug.
Man, at least they let Whitley the Minaj get like 3 bars, though.
They brought her in, took her right back out. You know?
You're right. Jenny Ma and shit.
Like
it's Jenny Ma, Becky Minaj. The fuck is this shit, man?
I don't know. This is a
Disney bro. This is the part that I want to sink in though. Disney let this happen.
Right.
You know how many black people got jobs at Disney? Like, man, I just don't want to fuck up. Every day I wake up in my life and think, just don't fuck up these Disney checks.
Right.
This nigga was out here living wild, reckless, y'all.
I just saw Anthony Anderson on Desus and Mero, and he was like, y'all don't fuck up my Disney money. He said it about 5 or 6 times.
Bruh. Like,
don't mess up my Disney money. Don't mess this money up.
This white boy was out here being reckless, whole neighborhood mad at his ass, everything. All right. Alright, we gotta move on.
He get 100.
That's enough white people news, okay,
for
guys?
With the white folks in this neighborhood.
Alright. Oh, well,
it's
actually.
It's every day, bro.
It's every day, bro.
I might come up to that song, this week when I do my show.
Cause I got that Disney flow.
Yes, Disney flow.
Fuck Kendrick Lamar. Fuck Odyssey.
This is the new shit. This is new.
This is no Tyler the Creator for me. This is every day, bro.
You know, this is flame emojis.
You know what we really need, though, in real life? We need black people to cover these whack white songs and make them cool.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Like reverse acoustic and shit.
They would be so mad, but they would be flame.
It's like, hey, have you heard the ASAP Rocky Is Everyday Bro remix? Now that shit is actually hot. Oh, for real?
That shit would have so much bass to it. That shit be trap. You'd be like, how did we get the right trap music?
Wait, Kendrick remix every day, bro? Okay, now I want to hear it.
I will listen to that.
I did forget to mention this. Elizabeth Moss in White People News reveals she doesn't give a shit about anyone who doesn't believe in women's rights. Now, this is a hell of a quick turnaround, because if y'all remember, Elizabeth Moss also was a person that said that she's not a feminist, and that was during her interview about The Handmaid's Tale, which some people
damn like, I just started watching that, young.
Yeah, people was like, the fuck, Elizabeth, a whole fucking show about being, it's about feminist ideals,
right?
She doesn't really give a shit about anyone who does believe in women's rights. The 34-year-old actress is a staunch believer in equal rights for women in the movie industry and beyond. The Handmaid's Tale star told the new issue of Hollywood Reporter magazine, I'm such a staunch believer in women's rights. I don't really give a shit about anyone who isn't. It's like, I don't need them to watch the show. At a certain point, things are more important than your job, said Elizabeth, who has been nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series for work on a Hulu show. Meanwhile, the Mad Men star, who also is a producer of The Handmaid's Tale, previously revealed she always gets the final say on her news scenes. She shared, I'm very particular about that kind of thing, and I don't let anyone decide who's going to do what angles except for myself, unless they would like to take their clothes off and be shot, and then they can decide their angles. Everything that involves nudity, I have 100% approval. Otherwise, I don't do it. That way is actually better for the filmmaker, because you actually end up getting more than you would if you just asked the actor to take her clothes off. Jane Campion, Top of the Lake director, said, you can have 100% approval of every frame, and anything you don't like will never be used. She gave it to me. She really allowed me to have that voice, and I carried it over. And the blonde beauty knows there's an issue with the gender wage gap, but she said she's been paid less than her male co-stars in the past. She said, I have experienced sexism like Peggy during the 1960s. Of course not. But there have been times when I haven't made as much as a man, I'm sure, and it's just a factual thing, not a matter of opinion. That's sex. Elizabeth can be seen on the big screen in the Swedish satirical drama The Square, which premiered in May at the Cannes Festival and won the Palme d'Or. The Square is scheduled for release in Sweden and the UK August 25th, followed by limited US release October 27th. Elizabeth can also be seen later this year in The Seagull, based on a play by Anton Chekhov. So there you guys go. She a feminist, kinda, now. I like how she still wouldn't come out and say, I'm a feminist, though.
Yeah, man, and
that word is so scary to people.
But the backlash for a lot of people, it ain't made up. Like, for a lot of women, they're like, oh, the backlash is real. Like,
right.
You got to deal with the MRA niggas. You got to deal with people that just don't like women. You, like, people go, I don't want to deal with the bullshit. Like, but guess what? You're going to deal with it anyway.
It's like how black actors and musicians always end up saying some All Lives Matter shit in a quote. Mm-hmm. And you're like, how does that happen? Because I know you don't actually believe that.
You're trying to save that money.
But you're trying to appease the person interviewed. I don't even think it's about trying to save money. It's like you're doing, because they're only being interviewed by a white person.
Right.
It's like you're trying to appease an audience out there that's actually, if those motherfuckers believe that, they don't fuck with you already. But you sitting around like, well, I know the right answer is All Lives Matter. Because if I say Black Lives Matter, people are going to say just Black Lives. And that feels like that's what happened with women when people ask them about being a feminist. Because then they will turn around and espouse so many feminist ideas, talk about if you don't support women this, I support women's equal rights, all this shit. But then if you say, so are you a feminist? Whoa, 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 I don't hate men. They're already giving in to it. You know, it's wild.
Yeah. That's
so that means, go ahead, Karen, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chris.
So I'm just saying, so when I get on that new Confederate show, don't get mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get mad at me when I you know, do that show and start getting this HBO money.
I'm gonna watch that show, by the way. I don't like everybody mad and everything, and I understand and I relate to their anger, and I don't trust it to be great either.
Mm-mm.
But I'll be goddamn if I'm not gonna watch that show. I'm gonna watch that show. I want to see for myself, honestly. Like, the black writers came out and did an interview with I think it was Hollywood Reporter or somebody, and they kind of clarify, like, look, man, we ain't no fucking coons. So, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they heard a lot of backlash.
Yeah, and like, some people was like, yeah, of course they tracked the black people. I was like, yeah, but there's a difference between, like, if you read what they said, they didn't sound like they came out and went, listen, guys, okay, we're just here you give it a chance. And they were like, look, we got black family. We not about to sell black people out for no motherfucking money. Tune in. This ain't about no cooning. And I was like, that actually kind of assuaged some of my fears to a certain extent, because I wanted to know how much the black writers had to do with this shit, because like apparently it's the game, the showrunners from Game of Thrones, it's their idea, but then they knew to go get these black people to have to write this shit because right, they're not capable of writing this,
and that's not how I was promoted. So people said fuck you. Like, yeah, I mean, every mean a lot.
Every single article went, the showrunners from Game of Thrones are doing the Confederate, and I was right. Like, oh, that's stupid. For the record, still could be terrible. I'm just saying, I'm giving it a shot. And it's always difficult when you talk about slavery because black people are so traumatized by it that sometimes the reaction is just, I don't want to see anything about slavery, or and you have to deal with that too. You know, like, I'm ashamed of watching things about slavery. I get angry from watching things about slavery because it's real and it affects me, and I understand that too. You know, like, I'm not trying to tell black people they wrong for thinking that. I completely relate to it, but I personally am not like that. I am attracted to things that talk about slavery and black people's history in America through civil rights and all that shit, because I'm proud of that stuff. And the idea of it put it this way, it could be executed well enough to make this worthwhile, which is to say, hey man, these are the roots of America, and look at how it affects things. Now think about today, and think about what you're watching. I would be okay with that, but I also understand why people, you know, really just think about the worst case scenario.
Yeah, my opinion about feminism and watching things about slavery has evolved, and I think a lot of it has to do with, I guess, your perspective and how you view things. You've changed my opinion about it a lot. Because if people listen to this show for any period of time, you know, I was one of them people like, nope,
yeah,
fuck a feminism, you know, and I understand it, and I wasn't against people that were feminists, and I wasn't fighting for them, and I actually supported everything that they did, truthfully, but I was like, don't put that label on me, you know, even though I was like, we all fighting for the same things, we all want the same things. And the same thing with slavery. I used to be one of like, no, I'm not watching no slavery. Fuck that. Why? I don't want to be sad and depressed watching people get beaten, chained, and watching, you know, oppression and all that shit. But what I've learned is that I don't know as much about it as I should know. So I'm learning. Like, a lot of black people think they know everything it is about slavery, but it is something about it that a lot of people don't know. But a lot of black people don't want to watch the hurt, watch the pain, realize that we're superheroes, realize that the things that we've gone through, because normally when it comes to slavery and how it's presented, it's always presented from a white person's perspective. It's never presented from ours. And I think for a lot of people, including myself, I was fighting more against, I'm tired of white people telling our stories.
Right. And I mean, this could definitely be that, you know, but I already see people making assumptions about shit where I'm like, oh, it's because of the past. Like, people have fucked this story, not this story specifically, people have fucked up this concept enough for people to be wary of it, and people really just don't want anyone touching slavery to a certain extent, and especially white people. And I completely relate to that. I will watch it because, like, I watch a lot of shit about slavery, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, this ain't me telling, because I hate to see black people come down like, y'all get mad about everything, all this outrage. Like, nah man, we have valid emotions, and if we decide that we're angry and we don't want to give it a chance, that's a valid emotion. We don't have to give shit a chance, right? So I get that. I will be giving it a chance because I'm into this kind of shit, and I really do want to see what they do with it, because they will have a big ass budget, they will have a lot of pull and a lot of play, because they're coming off of Game of Thrones,
right?
And essentially they're gonna have two black people writing the shit. And when I listened to when I saw the interview and how their brain was working, when they were like, oh, we can't wait to make the parallels, we can't wait to like explore how would this change history, how would this change shit like World War I to World War II, things of this nature, that I'm like, yeah, I actually would like to see that explored. I can take it, but that don't mean everybody has to,
right? And then they people probably hot because they cancel Underground,
right? My first thought was like, why didn't HBO just pick up Underground?
What? Right,
that was my first thought, honestly, because I was like, but y'all, it's already a great show about slavery made that was really good, and it got canceled, and now it's looking for someone to pick it up. Y'all got money, y'all could do it, you know. Although I know Underground has this Hulu deal that's kind of holding it back, but still, man, I wanted them to just do that, man. But You know, but I've already seen people be like, they gonna have good white people as the main characters, and they gonna have they gonna have nice slave owners that you're supposed to root for. And I was like, I don't know, like,
right,
I,
nobody knows.
I hope they're not that stupid. Like, if they're that stupid and it's just, then yeah, it's gonna suck and I won't watch it. If it's that fucking dumb, you know, I hope they will be more complex than that, where, you know, because if you're gonna have slavery in modern day, you're gonna also have resistance in modern day. If you're gonna have I hope they don't approach it like Game of Thrones, where it's like, we root for Cersei even though she's evil. Like, I hope it's not that kind of thing, but we'll see. You know, I'm just willing to give it a chance is all I'm saying. I'm not judging those who aren't, though. All right, man, let's do Guess the Race and then we'll get out of here.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read the play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Chris Lambert from the Mundane Festival podcast, to guess the race, and chat room and Karen play along in their races. All right, Guess the Race is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. All right, Shadow Dog Productions sponsored this show, y'all. They trying to, you know, they trying to get y'all to love them, okay? All you got to do to support them is that they have a new audio play album out that they want you to listen to. The good news is it's a new audio play album. The bad news is it's a family-friendly album geared towards kids. So those of y'all who've been wanting to listen to Shadow Dog Production stuff for a long time and been like, Rod and Karen, y'all be cussing too much on there.
For my children.
Now you can go listen to it and your kids can be in the car. Mm-hmm. The star of the album, Liliana Ketchman, who's the star of the show Dance Moms. The bad news is a lot of the mofos hate that show, so I don't know if y'all remember. But the good news is...
Did he write that in now?
Yes.
It's in the copy. Dexter.
But the good news is we have a link, so make sure you check it out on iTunes. Short Stories with Liliana Ketchman. I have a link put in the show notes as well for you guys to check out. Let's get to the sizzle. Tourism director, 61 years old, who was fired after she accidentally live streamed herself naked on her entire town's Instagram page. In a sex gone wrong, sues to get her job back. The tourism director who accidentally live streamed nude video of her work Instagram account on her work Instagram account wants her job back. Lynn Dorsey, 61, was fired from her post at the
61. Woo! I'm out there getting it on.
You know what? 61 and new 30.
I told you Snapchat be flying with the old people.
It was Instagram.
She probably had Snapchat page too. Bet you check that out.
She had that snapper on the chat, all right.
Yeah, she did.
She was fired from her post at Western Parish, Louisiana tourism director after the 30-minute broadcast was posted to the public Instagram account December 19th.
30 minutes!
Right? She put in that work.
Right, she put in a whole camp show.
The sultry video was intended for her husband while she was away on business in Baton Rouge. She filmed the striptease on her iPhone 7. She told Minden Press Herald, "I am a new Instagram user, and unfortunately I pressed the wrong button." She was placed on leave mid-January and fired in February.
Now, I believe on that.
Yep. Now, Dorsey is suing to get her job back and seeking paid damages, civil penalties, and attorney fees. Man, she couldn't just take the L? See, I'm not going to lie. I just take the L.
Because she's white.
Once I'm all over the timeline, I'm like, you know what, dog? You can't hire me. I get it.
She's like, no, what I'm not going to do is be taking this L because I'm a white woman.
Well, Karen is convinced she's white.
Mm-hmm.
Her suit's claims.
Off the rip.
And so it's, okay, Chris is convinced she's white too. Her suit claims.
I agree with Karen.
The way that she was fired was not fair because the decision to fire her was made in private. She was the executive director for more than 10 years. The night of the live stream, she said, "I'm mortified. I would never send that type of content out intentionally." The suit says Webster Parish Convention and Visitors Bureau's Tourism Commission Board did not comply with the requirements of the Louisiana Open Meetings Law when they made the executive decision to fire her. Instagram live video was a fairly new feature at the time of the broadcast. It was rolled out to iPhone users on December 12th. Guess the race. You guys both sticking with white?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Let's check the chat room. Lion White Exhibitionist. Now who thinks Black Mamas Monthly is racist? Oh, one who thinks Black Mamas Monthly is racist. White 53%, a white woman audacity, white corn muffin cakes, white, oh. White. The tourism board should thank me, white. Wore leopard leggings to see girls trip, white. I'm gonna tell you something too, man. This will help get tourism going into town, in my opinion.
Come on.
You know, you never know who wanna get on them Angela Lansbury pancakes.
Aww.
Anyway, that's her right there. She was white. You guys, everyone guessed white and everyone got it correct.
Yeah, that's the whitest picture since.
She poured that lemonade for Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. And yep. And you can look at that going, you know she didn't mean to do that shit.
Yeah, man. Yes.
And she was like, what you not going to do is fire me off of some bullshit in her mind.
The town didn't know she was a freak like that, man. You know?
Probably some new feature her grandkids showed her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, now that's
looks like
got,
a sweet lady.
That's her husband. Look at him, a firefighter. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to see old mama yeah. little cheeks. Ain't nothing wrong with that, bro.
Yeah, they were just missing each other.
I feel bad for her, man.
Yeah, me too.
She thought her shit was going into the iCloud up there. And it went to everybody else but the cloud.
And the worst part is, you know, one of the people that fired her, at least one jacked off to it.
And what was jealous?
At least one jacked off. That's how fucked up people are. It's like, oh, now that I bust this nut, you got to get out of here.
Right. You're fine, ma'am.
People. I'm going to have to let you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you breathing hard, Jim?
Yeah. I'm going to right-click save ass, but y'all ass got to get the fuck out of here. Let's see what else is happening. How about...
He's on his wallpaper.
Right. He had to close his laptop as the hearing began and shit. You need to get the fuck out of here, okay?
This is reprehensible.
Disgusting. It's funny though, because in principle, there's really no reason she shouldn't still be able to kind of work, but we're so uptight about that shit, you can't work. You know, like, I get why you gotta fire her.
Right,
even though if you think about we saw boobies, you can never work in this town again, you know? And we know it's probably an accident, like, why the fuck would she just blow her fucking 10-year career for no reason? But still. Suspect 26 pushed a man 34 off a bridge to his death for making a lewd remark about his girlfriend. A suspect and his girlfriend have been arrested in the death of a man who plunged to his death off of a bridge. Cecil Thomas Rice, 26, was charged with deliberate homicide in the Wednesday death of Anthony Walters, 34, who was seen falling into the Flathead River in Montana. Walter's body has not been recovered, but he's presumed dead after being seen sinking below the river's frigid current. Earlier the same day, Walters encountered Rice's girlfriend, 25-year-old Heather Joy Meeker, at church. The church gives meals to the homeless, where he made an inappropriate remark about the young woman. Both the couple and Walters were transients, police said. Around 7 p.m., a woman fishing near the Old Steel Bridge heard a splash and saw a man believed to be Walters struggling in the water calling for help. Another witness saw the man floating hundreds of yards down the river before his head dropped below the water. Witnesses said they saw a man and a woman on the bridge later identified as Rice's Meeker, along with a third man who is not considered a suspect. The three figures on the bridge jumped into a maroon van and sped away, but not before Meeker tossed a backpack belonging to Walters from the bridge. Meeker has been charged with evidence tampering in the case. A witness who was on the bridge said Rice pushed Walters into the river. Rice is being held in the Flathead County Detention Center on $500,000 bail. Meeker is being held on $50,000 bail. Guess the race.
White.
All right. What about you, Chris?
Montana. It's white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. When street harassment goes wrong, black, says Tawan. All right. Mickey and Mallory, white trash, white. A river runs through it, white. Yeah. Curveballs, white. Black. I'm sorry, curveballs, black. White as the lady upset about the ice cream truck. Heather, white, put mayonnaise on French fries, white. Ew. Marlboro Red smoker. Ugh. Yeah. Well, you know what? all of y'all that guess white, you got it right.
Teddy R said a river runs through it. Well, that's hilarious. Yeah,
a river runs through it white. of course, some people say it black.
You know, my only other guess would have been Native American, possibly because of Montana. I just watched this really indie movie called Certain Women that took place in Montana, and that would be it was a Native American character. I was like, that might be the only reason, but yeah, it's all white. Sorry for that reference. But.
No, you don't need to apologize. I just saw something that had a Native American person in it, and I was surprised too. I can't remember what it was. I was watching. I was like, oh, yeah. You don't see a lot of Native American actors get...
No, you don't.
...get roles. No one writes the parts for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if they do get a part, it's some stereotypical bullshit.
Come on.
So I was like, good for that dude.
Yeah.
You know? And I was a little bit envious because Native American people get such cool last names. But, I mean, you know, it's not like... Obviously, you know, I understand that it's still fucked up how white people tried to kill them and shit. So,
come on.
I mean, it's the least you can do is have a cool ass last name. But they last names be cool as fuck, dog.
Like, give them a casino, you know?
Yeah, right. But it'll be like, you know, Johnny Blackfoot or whatever. I'm like, that's a cool ass last name. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Hawk, you know, Hawkwing. I'm like, god damn, this motherfucker got a cool ass last name. But it's not like I couldn't just change my last name to a cool ass last name, but then it would come off so fake, you know, like I'm trying to pose as Native American and shit. I'd be appropriating. I'm 116th Cherokee on my mama's side. And but they got some cool ass last names. Oh, I know what it was. It was Assassin's Creed. I was playing that. I finally got to the one with the Native American hero dude. I never played it before. And it was like, yeah, your name is Connor Hawk. And I was like, oh, this nigga got a cool last name. Anyway.
And then they kill his family. Don't they kill his family in that shit?
I don't know. I'm not done playing it. It's my first time playing it. I just got to be him. So I hope not. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. Actually, they killed his mama. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They killed his mama just to start his part. By the way, that game got one of the best swerves. I hate to spoil it for y'all, but it's been years and I just started playing it. You don't start off as the Native American dude. Mm-mm. You start off as some white dude. Man, I was like, I almost turned the game off. If it wasn't for Chris and Aaron telling me that shit, I wasn't gonna finish that game. I was like, I bought this game specifically to be a Native American dude with a fucking hatchet that killed white people. That's the only draw to the game for me. No, I don't want to be this white dude to start the game, but it's a swerve, like, I don't know, a couple hours in that fixes that. Anyway, they white, and they pushed that homeless man to his death.
Very white.
Street harassment. But I always told that homeless man, don't go chasing waterfalls. Oh, you mad? You sad, Aaron? You sad?
And if you do chase those waterfalls, you can't cry him a river after that.
That's right, Karen.
Unless you just want to wait till the water runs dry.
Yes, Chris on the road.
Yep. Y'all got to stop staying in the past and get in the current. Last one. Let's go to the bonus round. Where's my bonus round music? Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, they're both 2 for 2, guys. Who would have thought? But will they get nervous going into the bonus round? Only one way to see. All right. Bonus round. You guys getting nervous over there?
Yep.
Good.
A little bit.
That's what I thought would happen. Wait, do I not have this woman's picture in this article? Hold on. Give me a second. Because we don't got the picture, we can't do it.
That defeats the purpose.
Right, absolutely. Like, I have my suspicions without seeing the picture, but I'm going to need some confirmation. We don't do unscientific bullshit on this show, okay? This is a very scientific show. All right, cool. All right, here we go, guys. A teacher convicted of having sex with her student is suing the teenage boy for defamation.
What?
Yep. The 36-year-old teacher is convicted of having sex with a student under the legal age of consent in California. She's suing the student she slept with for defamation. Tara Stumpf, who is currently serving a 180-day jail sentence for having sex with a 16-year-old student, says that statements made by the young man hurt her reputation and her career.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Her
victim defamed her to various classmates, family, and other members of the community.
Kids don't keep secrets,
she alleged in her lawsuit. She started her sentence on May 1st, only 180 days, half a year.
Come on.
For fucking a kid. Stumpf was named alongside her former employee Lucia Marr, the school district, and in the lawsuit brought against her by her victim's family. She pleaded no contest to the charges in April. The next hearing in her civil case is scheduled in October. Her teaching license was revoked following her conviction, but she won't have to register as a sex offender after leaving prison.
Why not? Because she a woman. Because she a woman. This has been the man that thought he'd have had life in jail for everything. And
look, I'm not saying if she was a man, she'd be life in jail. I'm not going to say that. What I will say is this. If she was a man, she'd have to put out some banging ass R&B album to get away with this, okay? Because that's the only way I've seen it done.
And dance like Michael Jackson?
It's the only way I've seen it done, okay? You're going to have to put out some good music.
Okay, the truth.
If you want people to let you just be fucking these kids.
The town would have been harsher, yeah.
You got to have a lot more talent, apparently.
Y'all got to be stepping in the name of love.
You got to learn what I say about being robbed. You got to learn to throw them fucking spirals if you want to. Want to get away with these crimes, apparently. Her lawsuit is seeking indemnity or protection against financial burdens or judgments from all the charges related to the case. So basically in a civil court, in a civil trial, money is the thing that you end up giving up. So she's basically saying because he defamed her, she should not be able, have to be liable to pay any money that results from the civil case if she loses that. That includes any injuries she may receive from the school, financial burdens of the lawsuit, or any civil damages. Stump will be on probation for 4 years following her release from prison, during which time she will be subject to specialized counseling and periodic polygraph tests. I think that it's an appropriate sentence. It was a very difficult situation, an attorney who prosecutor said during the proceedings. The charges followed a months-long investigation by the school district into her actions. It is alleged she had sex with at least one other minor student during her 5-year stint at the school district.
I know she has 180 days. We really doing this?
And she said I was defamed.
But you did it.
You out here telling people I'm fucking kids? What's wrong with you, kid? What are you doing? You gonna tell your parents and your schoolmates? You know that's fucking up my life. How am I supposed to get a job again where I can fuck my students?
Right. Where you're actually messing up his sexual growth and shit like this. But yeah, it's one of these things where people don't think little boys don't get fucked up from grown women fucking them. And mm-hmm. Yeah, dudes get fucked up too.
So guess the race of the teacher, Karen.
White.
Karen's going with white. All right. What about you, Chris Lambert?
I'm going with white.
All right, going white. Let's check the chat room and see what they have. Just for Chris, notes on a scandal, white. Taking notes on a criminal conspiracy. Mary Kay Letourneau was her personal hero, white. I don't quite understand this white woman house way. It's not her fault. Miley Cyrus, white. Seems like you ready, white.
Aww.
He said the cakes was trash and she wasn't trying to hear it. Kaioken X20 Caucasity, white. Mary Kay Letourneau White, she was told by AppleCare that she could fuck these kids without consequences. Let me speak to a manager. White.
Ah!
Saw it in porn and wanted to try it, white. Pinky swear oaths don't hold up in court, lady. Court of law, white lady.
Mm-mm.
White, Becky to the fifth power. Now everyone will sue victims, white. Mm-hmm. Impossible white woman. Yep, a lot of men say this shit. I remember Derrick Rose said this shit about the woman that accused him, like, I'm a sewer. And I'm like, I hope you, do you really think that make you look less guilty? Because it don't. It make you look more abusive, dog.
Right.
Like, you got off. Leave it at that. Because your ass, like, you going after her now seems like, maybe this nigga did this shit. But anyway, she was white. You guys all got it right. Everyone guessed white. You're all correct.
Yeah, I guess I can't wrap my mind around. You got the audacity to sue the victim?
People do it all the time, really. I mean, in this case, it's a woman suing a boy, but I mean, men have sued women as like a matter of course. Like sometimes, like you get accused of sexual assault, then you sue the person because you want to make them. I mean, it's already very difficult to prove sexual assault, but I remember Bill Cosby said he was gonna sue all those women. Like, it just don't matter how guilty you look or how bad it is. This is the playbook. Like, everybody will know I'm innocent when I get revenge on these bitches for accusing me of rape. You know? I'm like, okay, buddy. All right, let's get into the last thing that we do here, guys. And that is Sword Ratchet this time. Then we're gonna get out of here. Police. A man wielding a sword claims to be God and swings at the cops.
Oh.
A 23-year-old man told police he was God before swinging a samurai sword at officers in the Heights, authorities said. This is in New Jersey. Chris is stomping grounds.
What part is it?
The Heights.
I don't know what that is.
Jacob Perez was charged with aggravated assault on a police officer, resisting arrest, and weapons offense. For the incident on Kennedy Boulevard near Floyd Street on Monday afternoon at around 12:45 p.m., police were told a man dressed in all black, later identified as Jacob Perez.
White.
Nope, he is a black dude.
Oh, shit.
Black as fuck, too. Like,
I'd have got that one wrong.
Mm-hmm. Like, this nigga look like Afro Samurai with this sword.
Oh, shit. Can we see the picture?
I'll put it on the screen. I couldn't believe it myself. I was like, is that a nigga with a sword? It's looking like Simon from Django and shit. That nigga on a horse? With a sword. He definitely will pass for black, man. If he not black, I don't know what exactly he is, but he looked black to me. So yeah, man, he pulled the sword out on these cops and got to swinging and shit.
We don't see it.
Oh, it's not coming up? Okay, hold on a second, guys. Hold on 1 second. Sometimes it does this. Takes a second to pull up. Okay. I know he got that last name, but you know how sometimes black people be having like them, like Perez or whatever be their last name because they like Dominican or fucking, you know, something, you know, but they black.
Yeah.
You know, but if you see that nigga on the street, you'll be like, he black. Like, you don't realize that they can't be saying nigga till they tell you they not black, and you be like, what? I've been letting you slide all this time? Yep. You know, I'm actually Dominican. You gonna have to go with black, or you gonna retroactively take all them niggas back.
Right, we can't have you doing this.
You black, huh?
Yeah. The exchange rate on them N-words, bruh, you gonna have to pay the cost if you don't take it back. Yeah, like somebody said, like Nina. Yeah, Nina's last name, Perez. She clearly a black woman. I'm going to have to refresh, y'all, because the picture not coming up.
Okay.
All right, give me 1 second. I'll be right back, everybody. I don't know why this shit won't come up. Let me see if I refresh.
No problem. You good.
All right. We're just calling niggas in.
Duh!
Thugs. Calling them thugs. But yeah, black dude with a samurai sword, and it's a long sword too. Wait till y'all see this shit. Like, he clearly was looking for trouble.
He came looking for a fight.
Yeah. All right, so I should be back on the screen.
You are.
All right, cool. Now I'm gonna share my screen with you guys so you can see this Negro. Yeah, Jacob Perez charged aggravated assault. Yep. So about 12:45 p.m. police were told,
that's a long ass sword,
right? They were told a man dressed in all black later identified Perez carrying a large sword. Officers told him to drop the long black sword. He told them he was God, then removed the weapon from his case. Perez said he would put the sword down if police put their guns away. Perez briefly put the weapon back into his case, but quickly removed it and began swinging at police. One of the officers attempted to tase Perez, the 23-year-old took off running. The officer told Perez, followed him to an alleyway where he jumped on top of a car with the sword still in his hand. He later dropped the sword, was placed under arrest, and brought to Jersey Medical Center for evaluation, the report says. That sword is like 5 or 6 feet tall.
That nigga thought he was bleach.
Right? He was like, Bon Kai! That shit wasn't working. He was like, why is it? Why can't I kill these cops?
What's happening? My connection not there.
I'm just happy that a black person had a mental episode and didn't end up dead.
Ain't that the truth?
All that being said, though, you gotta keep swords out of the hands of the average people, guys, okay? There's no training.
Yeah.
There's no, we're not tracking where these swords are. There's no registration for swords, and it's too dangerous out here for the average person to be able to just get a sword and do some crazy shit. We'll be back tomorrow, okay? Make sure you guys check out Chris Lambreth, man. Mundane Festival Podcast, at Chris Lambreth on Twitter. If you want to see somebody tweeting about Pretty Little Liars or...
that's over. PLL's done.
Okay, Riverdale, is that what you want now?
Riverdale is good. I think that's the most, that's probably the best successor to The Throne. I started watching The Bold Type as far as like the teen drama, but the black girl is dope. I think her name is Aisha Davis, but they kind of trying to play her to the left a little bit, and I'm not really liking that. So, I don't know.
Well, make sure y'all check them out, okay, guys?
But yeah. Follow me anyway.
Yeah, even though he won't be talking about anything I just said.
God, give us a recap of your upcoming shows again, baby.
Week at the Creek, Creek in the Cave in Long Island City. Free shows starts at 7 o'clock p.m. Brandon Collins from the Medium Popcorn Podcast and Comedy Outliers is going to be opening, and I might have a couple special guests. And it's going to be a good time. It's going to be fun.
And also, you know, I meant to ask you this. Do you feel any competition is being created between you and Brandon by J.L. Covan, since he had him on the Emmy show to discuss the Emmy nominations instead of you?
No, because I think those dudes watch way more TV than I do. And I listened to that episode and I was just fascinated at all the television that they were consuming. I thought I watched a lot, but I clearly don't watch enough. So that's all them. There's no competition. It's all love. I love those are good dudes, man.
So what about during the movie though? If you got Brandon on there for the movies,
in the words of the great Kurt Vonnegut, so it goes, man. If he puts them on there, young, I can't have no, you know, I can't be mad at it. But I'll still credit myself for bringing JL back to the podcast game.
Okay.
And we did an Oscar episode, like I think late January, early February of this year. And it got him inspired to come back. So, you wouldn't even get that Brandon Collins episode if it wasn't for me. So.
All right. Well, I had to ask. These are the questions people want to know. You know,
I'm glad you brought JL back because I missed him burning up shit with his pitchfork.
I missed his casual misogyny. You know,
honestly. Oh yeah, it was there. Yeah,
I was like, what are we gonna do? What's the world gonna do without this man telling us that women aren't funny?
I have once no a week, idea.
You know? And then what's he gonna be like when he gets successful?
Right
when he starts, to, you know, like it's gonna be an interesting. It's gonna be an interesting change.
Yeah, he definitely gonna act like he don't know us, but
maybe I'll have to make the heel turn. If he blows up and I don't blow up yet, then maybe I'll have to make the heel turn.
I'm gonna become the Whitlock to his Bomani Jones if he blows up.
Duh. We gonna be here like JL ain't shit, y'all.
Oh, that's nah. Fucked up.
We would never do that. We love JL and Brandon and all the rest of them.
All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure y'all check out Chris. Like I said, he's everywhere you want to be. We will be recapping Game of Thrones. So enjoy Game of Thrones tonight.
Yes.
Cause it's going to be on. It's going to be lit, guys.
And we'll... Oh, how about that Lawrence Hive, young?
And listen, oh, Chris, right. I don't know if you know, but I went to the Insecure premiere event in Charlotte.
So he already...
I heard it. Yeah.
So I seen it.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't ready. Y'all are going to be so mad. It's going to be, listen, get some popcorn and sit on social media from, like, when does it come on? Like 10 or 10:30, whichever one it comes on. I don't know if Ballers comes on first or if,
10:30.
Okay. So it comes on at 10:30 at 10:57. It's motherfucking on, y'all. 10:57 tonight. Oh my God. I'm going to just be sitting around with snacks reading the timeline because y'all motherfuckers going to fight. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, man.
Oh, so people like me going to hear about it and don't watch the show?
Don't watch the show, but you'll hear about it the same way you heard about the Lawrence Hive.
Right. Just everybody mad on all across social media.
Listen, watch it live, y'all. Don't try to be like, oh, I'll just catch it tomorrow. Nope. It will be spoiled by the time you get up in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
I have been doing y'all a huge service by not spoiling this shit for y'all because that's how fucking good it was. It's hard not to talk about, but you better watch it live. Don't try to... I'll DVR it. Okay, dummy. Monday morning, it's going to be spoiled already. Watch it live.
I'm looking for my... I got to find my Best Buy polo shirt. My old shirt. Yeah, you still have it.
Start rocking it. The Hive.
Yeah, I might rock. Yeah, Lawrence Hive.
We gotta start holding up an L for Lawrence and shit.
I know, you got people walking around that blue shirt don't even work for Best Buy.
And besides just the fact that it's gonna be controversial, it's also just a fucking good episode. I was laughing so hard. It's so funny. And even Ballers was funny. The episode of Ballers we saw. So, yep, it's back tonight, man. So, guard your heart, y'all. Okay? We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.